If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Jackie Jones, and before this show started, Intra looked at me, and he said, you know what, Jack, that is debatable. I said, no, that is masturbatable. That's right, it is masturbatable Jackie Jones. New nickname.
So there
and you're
you go.
My fucking right-hand man, motherfucker.
That's right. I am the man who tells you what to do, the boss. One-inch biceps of power, go! Ah! And that's not masturbatable.
You better believe it's not. You're more like the guy who's like telling him, like, squeal like a pig.
No. No, Jack.
Friggin' forcing him right into it.
Jack, I tell people to do a lot of things, but that is not one of the things that I tell people to do.
That is
unless they're into that.
That is the difference between Incher and Jack. Right there. Sums it up.
What's that? I'm not
you
sure
will not,
if I caught
you would
it.
Not tell, you would not tell someone to squeal like a pig, and I would.
Well, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, I am
Ned
so...
Ned Beatty, you got to watch out.
Who?
Ned Beatty.
Oh. Yeah, you never can look at that dude the same after you watch Deliverance.
Are policemen quite a lot like they represented in Deliverance in the WV?
I don't believe there was any policemen in that film, Jack.
They are the police.
No, I don't think they were the police.
Yes, they are. They're like, we're the fucking police. They were like the sheriff and like the deputy.
No, I thought you meant they're going to start playing like Roxanne or something. Or
what? Like, well, now we're into like 48 hours. Like Nick Nolte.
I'm just trying to divert you as best as possible. But anyways,
you know
Jack.
What though? I got something for you, Incher.
What do you got for me?
Now I know I said that I put a bad twist on the WV there, saying they were like people from the Deliverance. I'm going to twist it around, because I think the best vignettes in years in WWE And this is how I do picture people in the WV, in the WV, and that is the Wyatts. God damn, I love this gimmick.
It got to an interesting start last week. But
And it continued this week?
Yeah, I didn't check it out this week. I actually didn't watch any of Monday Night Raw, so.
Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I just said, they're really not like WV, and in fact, Bray dresses a lot like I do, now that I think about it. I don't wear white pants, but I wear the Hawaiian shirts and the fedoras.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have followers.
Mm-hmm.
You think if I put my mind to it, I could be like the Bray Wyatt of a sandwich?
I don't know. Maybe. Possibly.
Is it cool to be a cult leader and have like two people follow you though? It's not really
well,
a cult.
It's a start, I guess.
This week he had four.
Okay. So he's gaining some more members.
Mm-hmm. So I brought this up on the Facebook itch, man.
Mm.
What if the Wyatts, what if they had a creepy uncle or a Gramps? And that Gramp, the Gramps, the old man sitting on the rocker, that they just go see him once in a while, he's sitting there with the hammer in his lap. Now he's old man now. What if he was Waylon Mercy?
Who is Waylon Mercy?
Oh, my God.
who is he? I'm a terrible, terrible radio show host for a wrestling radio show.
He was the first guy to rip off Max Cady in wrestling.
Oh. And his name was Waylon Mercy. What federation was he for?
WWF, the World Wrestling Federation.
And was he around when nobody watched it?
He was the man. Some of the best vignettes of all time.
Hmm. Good stuff, eh?
Yes, he was Dan Spivey. Dan motherfucking Spivey.
He ain't been around in forever.
Mercy. No, that was his last run, Waylon Mercy.
He said, well, I can't get no better than that. I'll see you all later.
It was good stuff. He was there right before the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
If he was good stuff, though. He was a great gimmick. He wore the Hawaiian shirts, white pants, had the tattoos. He talked more like Max Cady than Bray does, but it's a similar deal. And he was more about coming and getting revenge. It was straight out of. He was just a straight up rip off of Max Cady in the wrestling world. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, Cape Fear dude.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen the original and the remake, Jack.
There you go.
Which I don't believe you can claim.
Yes, I can.
You've seen the original?
Of course.
No, I thought you had.
I mentioned this on the show on the Without Your Head back in the day. In fact, I will go on record here, and as I did on Without Your Head.
You said a lot of things on Without Your Head.
that Cape Fear is, in my opinion, a film where the remake is actually better than the original.
Hmm.
Not that I think the original is bad, but I actually think the remake is better. What do you think about that? Is that fighting words?
No.
You gotta throw down, itch man.
You are entitled to your opinion. Much like Roger Ebert's entitled his.
But his opinion wasn't based on actually viewing the movie. His was just based on bullshit. And then he went on to lie and talk about a movie they did not see. Now, if I did not see the original and I just came out here and I said, you know what, this movie's better, then you could say, well, it's bullshit because you didn't see it. How can you say something? You can't have an opinion on something if you didn't see it. And then to go out and lie and have an opinion on something and then it's clear that you didn't even see it. By the way you talk about it, you don't even understand the basic concept of the movie. That is shady business. That is dirty pool. Dirty pool on you, dead man.
No. I think everything you had to say about that movie just rang true to my ears.
You know what?
It was probably the best review I've ever heard.
You deserve to be bent over, taking a brown town. What do you mean about that?
You're saying I do, or Roger Ebert does?
Well, him too, but he's dead. In all honesty, I lost all respect for...
You always come on here and you're like, you're just like the people from Deliverance. And then you're like, to punish you, I want to take you to Brown Town.
I thought you would understand it. There would be something on your level to
Yeah. Like, we're not diving deep into the psyche of jacking off.
Mm-hmm. What are you so hostile about?
I'm not so hostile. I'm just stating the facts, my man. Best review I've ever heard.
Well, then you like reviews that are ignorant, because that review was ignorant because he didn't see the movie.
Mm-hmm. It was a good review. He did that movie just what it deserved. He just said, I don't even need to watch this one. I can fast forward through it.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said, though. I've never heard the review, actually. See, you're just
I just like it. I like it because it makes you angry.
You're just as ignorant.
Whatever.
Sitting around eating your dirt patties.
Dirt patties? What consists
of
that?
I don't like that. Them there people I never seen.
Uh-huh. Yet you defend a movie where people are sewed to each other's asses.
And they gave you
the biggest bullshit excuse of not putting you in the third one.
No, Winter told
and
you
this. Like,
that is why Winter left TNA and moved to L.A. Because that's common practice. You have to be L.A. native to get in these films.
Why couldn't she just fly like Mike Tenay? He lives in Los Angeles.
Because maybe if they would fly.
Las Vegas.
If you're flying back and forth, you're probably going to lose money. You only pay about $500.
So Tanay gets more money than what Winter does. I guess so.
Probably pay his way. They're like, we gotta have Tanay on this show. They dropped the other guy. They're like, you know what? We got this new commentator. You're out of here. We're firing you because we got fucking Taz and Mike Tanay.
Was the pay per view his last show or something?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep.
God, I thought Taz was horrible during the pay-per-view, too.
Yeah, he is probably the worst commentator that's had, like, steady work that I can remember. He's just the total shits. I think they could just find somebody off, like, a wrestling message board that would do better.
All of a sudden, they're just like, our new caller commentator, Norton Rad.
He would be better.
Give him a shot. Give Norton Rad a shot.
I'll be totally. I would be better.
Mm-hmm.
You would be better.
Well, thank you.
She's probably better than John the Song Man would be.
Oh my God, that is just terrible! What Kurt Angle's doing in the ring there? What do you think about that, John? And then he starts singing a song. It's like
Cut. His name's Cut.
Bust em open, dust em open, bust em open, oh yeah.
That probably be that. You know what? I'm taking that back. John the Song Man would be better than Taz.
So there you go. Even John the Song Man better than Taz.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe. The heel Taz and Mike Tenay all on their own, I don't know. That's just, that doesn't seem very good. And it's just going to be, I mean, what will happen with the other dude? I'm worried about his livelihood, the man that I don't even know his name. What was his name?
Yeah, it's like Philip McKenzie. I don't know. Tony T.
Philip McKenzie? Wasn't he in that band that Wilson Phillips?
Daughter? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Hell if I know. It's like Tony something. Tony McGrew.
You think we would have learned the man's name, but... Oh, well.
Even this guy that is totally, like, does not stick out in any way, is totally... there's nothing about him that stays in your memory. Even he was better than Taz!
He was better than Taz, that's true.
Can you think of a worse commentator in the last, you know, 10 years?
Jeez, let's see. I don't know. Mike Adamley was pretty
bad. There's been some shitty ones, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Even the ones that are bad, like Mike Adamley, like, mm-hmm. they were just kind of bad, and you would zone them out.
Yeah.
Taz literally takes away from what you're watching. You're like, this guy is... The total shit, I think I just want to stop listening.
I liked on the pay-per-view where she had, like, that it was during the girls' last woman standing match. And Gail Kim had, like, the figure four on Taryn Terrell on the outside of the ring. And Taz was like, oh, she's got that big pole between her legs. And then Mike Tenay was like, a steel post would have been fine. And he's like, get your mind out of the gutter.
He's just a total moron.
Well, I thought you would have appreciated that one. She's got the big post between her legs. Or the big pole between her legs. I think it was a pole, actually. I'm sorry.
I mean, Taz ruins terrible jokes. Like, I can appreciate a joke like that. But then it comes out of Taz. He's like, got a pole between the legs, around the yam bags. Fuck that guy.
Good old Taz.
Sopranos is over.
Hmm.
They don't need a moronic, you know, this New York quasi good fella guy sticking up the truck. Is that why he got his break? They thought, like, Sopranos is popular, let's put this guy on commentary. How did he even start?
Well, basically, WWE used him for years, and then he left WWE, and Dixie Carter was like, I must have him on my commentary. And we must get rid of Don West, who was a TNA original.
Why is TNA original Don West? Why is he expendable? But Mike Tenay, they hold him up like he's the friggin' god.
Maybe because that mean face he'd probably make if they did fire him.
Who ever heard Taz? And they're like, oh my god, Taz is free. We gotta get him. We gotta get Taz. It's like when Bobby Heenan was free from WWE. Or Jesse the Body Ventura. No, Taz sucks. And he even sucks worse than TNA. And you know what? I know there's and people say, oh, what the hell? You can't badmouth Wrestling Observer. But you know what? Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez, they praise Taz. Bullshit. There's no way they think that guy's good. They praise him because he must be a stooge. He is a big-ass stooge. And Taz, back in the day, he would kill you. You think, oh, my God, this guy's going to fucking kill you. It's fucking Taz. He's a big-ass dude who makes terrible jokes and laughs like a jackass. Total shits.
I remember the moment they had Tough Enough. And Taz was one of the trainers on Tough Enough. And the man had Goldberg up on his wall. And he walked in and he was like, get this stuff off of your wall. And he ripped the poster down. And I was like, man, that's a man you don't want to mess with there. And now he is just a far cry from that Taz. He's nowhere close to that Taz anymore. I don't even know if I'd be scared of him.
Nope.
I could see children running around kicking him in the butt, and he'd just turn around and be like, stop it, guys. You almost got me in the yam bags. And then they just laugh and just keep kicking him in the ass.
You know what? And I almost, like, you know what? I'm tweeting this guy the yam bag idea. I made, because everyone loves Beanie Babies now, that's like what all the kids are playing with.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, so I made, they were like little sacks, ball sacks. Like, you know, like testicles, you know what I'm saying? Like a scrotum incher. Fucking balls, you know, it's between your legs. But man, uh-huh. I'm hanging down there.
No, wait a minute, what's it like?
You got a sack. It's a hairy sack, like a skin, and then inside you got your testicles just hanging down there. You know what I'm saying?
I think I'm following.
Balls.
Oh, balls! Yes.
Balloons, friggin' grapefruits. So I was like, he's talking about the yam bags all the time. That's his go-to line.
It's what you're complaining about getting off of your chin every time I see you.
You know what, Incher?
Uh-huh.
You're yelling about, you're like, oh, you're watching Human Centipede. Fuck you, Inchman. What do you think about that? You and your video game.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, I got 29,000 NES cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy me a new flipper here for this pinball machine I bought down at the Y.
Oh,
I'm looking at Craigslist to go play some pinball with some lonely man in his 40s in his basement. Mm. I don't think there is nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
What do you think about that? Huh? Bibbida bibbida boo!
I don't know.
I got something for you!
Maybe I just need to go out and buy myself a Kangol hat. Oh boy, and then I'll be like, look at this. I'm so cool nowadays. Look at me in all my bizarre outfits. Oh, everybody, watch me post pictures about it. What do you think of that?
I think you should get yourself...
I want to be in the Human Centipede.
Yeah, a Taz yam bag.
I want to be sewn to a man's asshole.
You'd be like, oh, I can't stand a Jack of Jones. I'll take it out here on this yam bag. And you could pound it. That is what the purpose of the yam bag would be, Incher. You could play with it. You could fondle it. You can take out your aggressions. You can do whatever you want with this. And you can put faces on it. So the idea was it would be a Taz yam bag, be orange with stubble and stupid sunglasses. You could sell them. People could collect them. They could make a Hulk Hogan yam bag. They could make all the TNA rust. Hell, they could make a suicide yam bag. And did he, I sent him this idea, tweeted him this idea, did he reply back and say, hell yeah, I'm backing up the Tazmobile to the bank, because I'm making the cash. No, he didn't say a goddamn thing. Not a goddamn thing. I told everybody on the Twitter machine, I said, tweet that Taz, tweet him about the airbags. And does he do it? No. They were tweeting him left and right! And he still doesn't even reply.
So there you go.
Taz.
No
so
response.
Now, so they kicked out Trevor, whatever the hell his name is.
Is that his name?
I don't know.
Oh, we finally learned what his name was.
I think it's like Tony.
Oh, I know his face. If I seen him, I'd be like, man, it sucks they kicked you out of TNA. You got the Don West treatment, dude.
Well, he's no Don West.
Yeah, but still, it wasn't the Don West treatment. It was like people kind of liked you, and then they just got rid of you.
Don West. You can't fake... Well, you probably can, because there's probably nothing real about Don West. But you can't fake...
He's like, boy, that was a hard one to sell tonight.
Yes. One of my favorite moments of TNA's back, when I think they were weekly or whatever, he got up and he stood up on the table, and he's like, amazing, Red, amazing. He almost died. Like, he almost just had a heart attack, because he was, like, praising Don West. I mean, he's praising Amazing Red. It's like, Jesus Christ, this guy's the man. And he used to do the hard sells before the pay-per-views. He'd get up, he'd be totally out of breath, screaming. This is good stuff.
But he's gone. I don't know what Don West has gone on to do. I think he's doing a radio show, isn't he now?
I think so.
Man. Oh, well. Bye-bye, Don West.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye to the guy that we don't know his name. They didn't even keep him around long enough to where we learned the man's name. They didn't really go to him a whole lot, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't even really mention his name a whole lot. I think they were just trying to get rid of the dude from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Trying to sabotage, man.
Mm-hmm. They were sandbagging him all the way, and he was getting over despite it. Mike and Mike and Taz got together, and they're like, let's just sandbag this newbie. He'll be gone in no time.
So tonight, Incher, in about half an hour, Kevin Kleinrock will be returning to the show. And he's going to be talking about Viva LA Lucha.
Excellent.
And it's going to be his first Kickstarter program. You can go and go. You can go and get some money for this new venture. It's, you know, they're trying to take, trying to get luchadors, lucha libre in the United States get to take off. So he's going to talk all about it. He'll have all the details. We've had the man on the show many times, from Wrestling Society X, from XPW, from Extreme Rising. Now he's got LA Lucha. Viva LA Lucha! Hear all about it.
I hope they got the Silver King.
I like Silver King.
He is the king of silver.
Yeah, let's go to this fucking pay-per-view. Slammiversary. I did not go to it. No one would agree to go with me.
It kind of blows being a 35-year-old wrestling fan. All your friends are just done with it.
I was like, you want to go to this? But nope. It's like, well, I don't really want to take a bus up to Boston and go around the fucking Boston town by myself to go see TNA wrestling. Like, how about you? You went, nope, nobody would go. So anyway, so I watched it on the pay-per-view, and you know what? That was one of their better pay-per-views. I enjoyed it. Chris Sabin won the X Division title over Suicide and Kenny Nothing Happening King.
Yeah, that he did.
And so. I'm glad they got the belt off Kenny King. I'm sorry, but Kenny King is just not good.
I think he could have a pretty good run, you know, maybe.
I don't. Nope, I don't think so. I think there's nothing about him that they deserves to have a title on him.
Nothing strikes me as like, yeah, this guy stands out, but nothing strikes me as like, this guy's really terrible, you know?
He's not really terrible, but he's nothing about him. You're like, well, let's put, well, first of all, the X Division title is like totally meaningless at this point. No one cares about it whatsoever. It's so far from its glory days. And then you do this, the three-way rule, which really brings it down even more. It really just makes it about throwing guys in there who jump around. You're void of storylines. It's hard to build three. It's not even about feuds. It's just basically about three guys who are jumping when you do the three. Just makes everyone interchangeable. And then you got Kenny King, who doesn't stand out at anything. Got no charisma. He's a basic dude. He's no better or worse than anybody else who does that style. So you need someone who's really going to capture people's attention, and he's not doing it. He's like White Lightning Tim Horner. Like, he's just nothing about him that stands out. I'm sorry, but there isn't. That's my opinion on Kenny King.
I mean, I don't know. I never really found him all that offensive. I mean,
I'm not offended. I just think he's. Have you ever was like, oh yeah, time to watch some Kenny King now?
No, but I can say that about a lot of people in TNA. Nobody strikes me as anybody who's like, oh, can't wait to watch this guy. I mean, they can kind of make anybody lukewarm. It's like Kurt Angle.
Have you ever thought of? Well, nah. Come on. Are you going to compare Kenny King and Kurt Angle?
I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying anybody's kind of just like blah on TNA. I mean, I can't necessarily be like, oh boy, I'm really excited for this Kurt Angle Mr. Kennedy match or Mr.
Anderson. I don't know. I thought actually that was one of the best feuds in TNA.
It was.
They were
having
matches.
I mean,
they had that awesome cage match.
Yeah, I guess. I can't remember it, honestly. I kind of remember it. I remember it happening.
It was pretty big.
No, I don't. I mean, is anything big in TNA?
Bubba Ray, Bully Ray.
I don't mean like size, you know. I just mean like, you know, like drawing power.
Well, the company doesn't draw.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of stuff that stands out. I like the pay-per-view, but Kenny King, just there's nothing about the guy stands out. Suicide's good. The guy's playing Suicide's good. J.T. Perkins, T.J. Perkins here, Norton Rad's all letting us know. Mm-hmm. I think that guy's good.
And oh, so it's not Kaz no more.
No. Chris Sabin's got, he's got some personality. But mm-hmm. they got to get rid of it. I think at this point in time, it's almost like they should just drop the title. They got to get rid of the three-way rule. I really think that hurts. That hurts it.
There's yeah, I agree with you there, because it's like they can't build up towards a feud. I mean, if it's just a standing stipulation that they're always going to have to do, it's just kind of silly. Why would you want to do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, but Chris Sabin, it was kind of weird just seeing him stand there while Hulk Hogan was cutting a promo, and he was just like bleeding out of his forehead. And you didn't see anything in the match that would make him bleed, but something cut him open. So that was kind of bizarre.
Listen, brother. Way to go, brother.
You think Hulk Hogan even knows who Chris Sabin is?
No.
Yeah.
Then it automatically makes the exhibition. It used to be the exhibition title was as important as all the titles. It was kind of like at some point in time, it was more important than any title in TNA. They could main event a pay-per-view with the exhibition title. During the big feud, when AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Daniels, when those guys were hot, that was the most important title in the company. Now it's really just like the opening card title. Mm-hmm. The guy is so important. And then you could take that title, which should be prestigious, and just cash it in for a chance at the world title. So he said that he could do that again. He's going to be able to cash in his title that he just won. He bled to win this title, and he just can give it up for a shot at the world title. Not even champion versus champion, nothing like that. Just give it up, throw it away, cash it in. It's like a golden ticket. Or a shot at an actual title.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a bad set of circumstances as well. But
I could see going for the belt, then if he loses it, that like Ultimate Warrior vs. Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like you can cash in this Intercontinental title and go for the Hulkster. No, it was champion versus champion. He's the IC champion. He's wrestling Hall of Hogan. Obviously, if he wins, he's going to be the world champion because that is the world butt title. But it wasn't just like, this is meaningless. I don't even want this belt if I'm getting a shot at this other belt. It really makes the title seem automatically that it's not an important belt.
Yeah. The three-way stipulation, though, it does set up for a good match. You know you're always going to get a pretty decent match out of it. You know, the Ultimate X match and all that. But, yeah. If you can't have any sort of feud going into it, it does make it pretty pointless.
You have to care about the match.
Yeah. That's normally what always sells a match for me, is like the build-up towards it, you know? That's normally what sells it, everything. It's all about the anticipation. You need Tommy Dreamer for these moments to explain it with some pornography terms.
So Hogan cuts a promo. He's all foul-mouthed. I loved it.
Despite not knowing who Chris Sabin is and just coming out and cutting his foul mouth promo, it was pretty good stuff.
I don't know. Just you would think you'd be defending the guy, not knowing people. You'd be like, that's wrong. That there is ignorance. I like that.
So now you're calling me ignorant?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So, they re-signed Jeff Hardy, and I thought, oh no, this is the big news they've been talking about, that they signed a free agent. It was a guy that's been in the company for a couple of years, but apparently, I guess it isn't. But Jeff Hardy, he's there. I don't really care about Jeff Hardy anymore.
Nah, he's too weird. I don't know, I mean,
Well, that's because he's, as Hogan said, an enigmatic enigma.
He needs to, I don't know, there's like no semblance of a character there. He's just this bizarre dude who like has eyeballs painted on his eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite get Jeff Hardy anymore. Doesn't make any sense. Maybe I'm just ignorant.
So, his team, they beat aces and eights. I came to a conclusion. Because when I, aces and eights, they kept, you know, it's like, oh man, Billy McGee's an aces and eights. Oh man, that guy with that big beard from ECW, he's an aces and eights. He should really care about this. It was really just the worst, like, faction I've ever seen. In the history of wrestling, just the worst reveals, just totally useless people after useless people, starting with Devon, and then it culminates in Bubba Ray joined. I was like, hell yeah, Bubba Ray joined. Now this is awesome. And as I watched it over the weeks, insurance, and then I've come to the conclusion, you know what? Aces and Eights is still just the shits. It's just that Bully Ray is so awesome that I kind of excuse the concept of Aces and Eights and all these other just completely worthless dudes. And I'm like, but that's really not the way it is. It's just Bully Ray is so good that in spite of the horrendousness, if that's even a word, of Aces and Eights, it's like, well, I like this guy, but it's not true. It's not true. They suck. They bring Bully Ray down a little bit. They're it's like they seem like that they're relevant just because they're around Bully Ray, who's just awesome. But they suck. Bully Ray is so good he doesn't need these guys. He doesn't need these Knox, Doc and Knox. Can anyone honestly out there tell me that they care about those guys at all? Doc.
I think I care more about Kenny King.
No, I think so too. I think Doc and Doc gotta be like the two most useless people in TNA. Yeah, who else is there? Devon? Oh my god. At least Devon, it's like, well, it's kind of cool when he's there with Bully Ray because they got the history. But the rest of the group, Ken Anderson, is like totally worthless at this point in time. He could just be some guy. They could go find a guy pumping gas and say you're the new Ken Anderson. The group sucks. Get rid of the group. Get rid of aces and eights and just push Bully Ray.
Yeah. I probably would look at it as like, well, this is a breath of fresh air into TNA if they did just get rid of the aces and eights.
It's not good.
Nah.
Then they got rid of the one, only other guy that like was fairly good. Baby Boy Bischoff here in Clinton said, I but they never pushed him as Baby Boy. I said, Devon called him Baby Boy. They should have pushed him as Baby Boy. But again, he's not good in aces and eights. Aces and eights is terrible. And now Baby Boy's got like this faux hawk and he's trying to look tough. Bad. Don't do that. Don't do that, little Garrett Bischoff. His calling card is he looks like a fag. He looks like a pretty boy. You want to see him get his ass beat. And then to think, well, this guy would beat like one of my heroes. This little... Oh, this pretty boy, you know he's in the company because his dad's Eric Bischoff. That's the heat of Garrett Bischoff. When he starts to look tough, he loses that, and he's just some guy. So he should play up his pretty boy image. See what I'm saying, Inchman?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you saw a pretty boy walking down the street, wouldn't this party just want to, like, I want to break that man?
I don't know. I guess it depends what he's doing.
Man.
It might depend what mood I'm in, I guess. I don't know.
So Joe, Hardy, and Magnus beat Aces and Eights. They cut to JB, and he totally ripped off the opening lines from the kayfabe commentary timelines.
No, he did.
Yes, he's like, the year was blah-diddy-blah-blah, and something was the number one movie, and this was the number one song, and gas cost so much a gallon. It's just a total ripoff of how they start every timeline video for from kayfabe commentaries. It's very blatant.
Maybe he wanted to do that.
Must have. I don't know. Then it was Sam Shaw and Jay Bradley.
I swear I thought Sam Shaw was the dude who came from Portugal. And he was like a referee for a while. But
Alvin Montoya?
No, it was the hell was that guy's name? It was something very similar. It was something Shaw or something. Or Sam Shul or something like that. I forget.
Shaw of ECW, Hack Myers.
No, it wasn't that dude. I don't know. I mean, he was this dude who was a referee forever. They've done this storyline several times in TNA. And then he became a wrestler. Then he was, like, feuding with Booker T, I think.
Oh, Sam Shul.
Yeah, that dude. Isn't that
then
very...
Then he started to get over, and then Booker T, like, totally demolished him, and then it was in.
Yeah. But aren't those names too similar to have them on the same show?
I think Sam Shaw is, like, so generic that it should not be a name.
Hmm.
You might as well just be, like, Joe Smith.
You really hurt Joe Smith's feelings.
Yes, he's for the NBA player, but this match was not particularly good. This was just like this probably shouldn't even been on Impact.
Hmm. Well, Jay Bradley was out there and he had the boomstick. I don't get that. I don't know any like reference to Army of Darkness or something in wrestling. It just, I don't know. It don't really work for me.
Doesn't Siki have a song about his boomstick or his swizzle stick or something? But his is all about his penis.
Oh, okay. I guess he does, yes.
You're not up on Siki songs?
I don't know. I mean, it's fine if everybody wants to have your project, but I don't want to watch it and I don't want to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't want to spend my free time like that.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
I'd rather go play pinball with some 40-year-old man in a basement somewhere. So there you go.
I love it. Dish it out, but you give it all back. He gets all bent out of shape. Devon was supposed to wrestle Joseph Parks injured.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Joseph Parks. But he didn't come out, so we got to count out.
Up. Yeah, they beat him up before the match started.
Yeah. So, Abyss's music hits. They're like, holy shit, it's Abyss. And he comes out, and it's Abyss. And he wins the TV title.
There you go. I could pretty much tell it was, not because it's so obvious at this point that, it's, what's his name? The lawyer dude. I forgot his name. you could tell, like, the hair is just plastered onto Abyss's mask.
Yes.
Joseph Parks, that's the guy's name. You can tell it's just plastered onto the mask, and you can tell Joseph Parks is under there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know everybody knows, but it's, I don't know. It seems really silly.
He's really gotten out of shape.
Was that one of the stipulations that he's happy about? It's because he can eat. Like, I'll just eat
Maybe.
And make myself fatter because
like,
I'm not like, supposed to be a wrestler anymore.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Devon and Dot. They're dressing in clothes now.
He's like, oh, my brother, I don't have to be in shape because I'm not in WWE. Kenny wasn't really in shape in WWE. He doesn't discriminate. He's just fat in any promotion that he's in.
Mm-hmm. So Abyss comes back, and don't you think, like, after all this time Abyss comes back, he should just go in there and just, like squash a guy?
Yeah.
But he didn't. Just came out and had a regular match with Devon and won too great. Dixie comes out, and I was like, oh, boy, whoop-a-da-doo. Here comes Dixie Carter.
Yeah, I was so hyped. I was like, oh, boy, it's my favorite part of the show is when Dixie Carter comes out.
She brings out the whole roster.
Look at the old saddlebags out there. She's hot like my sister.
She came out like limping or like walking funny, like the roster's like running the train on her before she came out.
Surge was going to town.
Mm-hmm.
She was feeling the surge. You think she said he makes her say that?
Maybe. I don't know. I kind of think that she's the dominant one in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a total puss. She's always talking down to everybody.
Yeah, she's like, I was not feeling the surge tonight, Surge.
She announces Kurt Angle in the Hall of Fame, which, you know, whatever. I don't know. The company's been around like a few years and they got Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Kurt Angle in the Hall of Fame, he's a great wrestler and everything, and he's definitely worthy of being in the WWE Hall of Fame, but he's had some good moments in TNA, I guess.
He definitely has. I think he always gives it his all every match in TNA.
Yeah, he is the standout, but it's just like, it's kind of like you say, it's like the company's only been around for a few years.
Yeah, and then both the guys in their Hall of Fame are guys that are definitely known for other companies. Sting is known for WCW, and Kurt Angle is known for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your own Hall of Fame isn't even like TNA identifiable.
Yeah.
It's like, why didn't they put Jeff Jarrett in there? I know he's known for other companies, but he started TNA. Put AJ Styles in there.
Kurt Angle got all weepy. He was crying.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice moment. He seemed like he was genuinely touched by it.
Mm-hmm. He announced that he had like a wife. I didn't know he was remarried now. Wasn't aware of that.
Maybe just had someone else's wife.
I don't know.
So, do you think he's having bestiality sex with his new wife?
I don't know. You never know.
So then they had it was like a 3 or 4 way tag team match, and a Bad Influence gets DQ'd right away. These guys should be the tag champs. They're one of the best things in TNA.
Bad
Daniels
influence.
And Kaz. Awesome.
Yeah, they have formed a pretty good tag team, and I used to just think Kaz was just this guy that I just couldn't stand, but they're working together, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, he was like the white Kenny King.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, they're awesome. I was never even, like, I always thought Daniel's a really good wrestler, but then he took over this persona. I was like, holy shit, this guy's entertaining. Guy's a friggin' man. Friggin' Bappletinis. Guy's awesome. He's got crazy dance and stuff. It's good stuff. And then now the tag champs lost, like, I think they were the second team out, and I was like, good, because those guys should not be around. Chavo and Hernandez, oh my god. And new tag champs, Storm and Gunner. That's a good team. I like that team. I like Gunner.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for Storm, though. It's like now he's just in another tag team again, unless that's where he wants to be.
Yeah, he's always stuck in a team.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he thought he was going to get like some sort of singles run, but maybe it's where he's hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, so that might be the reason. I think this was really, and again, this one looks like it's built around getting Gunner over, and then Gunner will be the star of the team. Storm's always, like, on the back burner of every team he's in. It's like it's always about building up the other guy, even though he's a standout. most of the time.
Weird. Yeah.
But anyway, I like Gunner. I'm glad they're getting behind him. And I like that they gave him the torture rack. The gun rack.
There you go.
Let's see. You know what? You know what, Incher? For all the fans out there, John the Songman, Dwayne, Freaky Seeky, and all you other, you know, the Taz of the Greek, and all the other, you know, women wrestling loving fags, I'm going to say this. This might have been the match of the night. Taryn Terrell versus Gil Kim. This was a great match. Last Knockout Standing.
Yeah, I was watching it, and I was like, man, is it going to be hard doing the show Wednesday when I actually have to say that I enjoyed this.
It was very good. Mm-hmm. Taryn Terrell, I thought she was just, you know, hot. She can go.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match. It had heat. They were doing stuff. A crazy bump at the end when she does, like, the, it was like a diamond cutter off the stage.
Kind of like a bulldog thing, yeah.
She had her head up in like
well, the camera angle was bad. I mean,
yeah,
it
they
was
called it a bulldog, but it wasn't. It was like a diamond cutter.
Okay, yeah, we could have got a better camera angle there. So that's more on TNA's production, mm-hmm. more so than on the girls there. But yeah, it was a good match.
It was very, very good. And Gail Kim has had some very good matches throughout the years.
Yeah, like, she always. I think you probably had to credit her for it because she had the good one with the Awesome Kong, and now she's having the good one with Taryn Terrell. Which Taryn Terrell, I'm sure she held her part of it, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kong could have good matches, just about anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, good, very good. And, you know, Taryn Terrell's not afraid to take some bumps. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Angle versus AJ. I've just seen these guys wrestle so many times.
Yeah.
So many times. And it's very weird because they spent months now building up this new AJ Styles character. And then he loses. They're like months and months of build, and then his big pay-per-view match, and he loses. To a roll-up. Very weird. Very odd booking. And will Kurt Angle, like, to me, he's Kurt Angle. I mean, he could lose a match. No one's going to care. You're investing all this time in AJ Styles, you know, reinventing him, and he just loses his first match. Very dumb. And I don't know about this new character. It's like, maybe it's good for the longevity of AJ Styles, because he's not doing all the high-risk moves now. But I don't know if people want to see that out of AJ Styles.
His new logo looks like it says P.I. Styles.
Yeah, like he's like Magnum PI now.
I don't get it. It doesn't resemble an A or a J at all to me.
No.
What's the deal with your lettering, dude?
They pick bad fonts?
I guess so. You need better lettering, AJ Styles. I like my AJ Styles to say AJ on it, not PI.
Mm-hmm. Who's the hotter AJ? To you, Styles or Lee?
I guess you got to go with AJ Lee, I guess. Even though saying AJ Lee, that sounds more like a man's name than AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm. She is young, hot, tight.
I mean, you had to have known the answer to that, didn't you, Jack? I mean, is there any question about my sexuality?
Yes.
I think you're the only one who questions that.
No, I know the answer.
And what would that be?
You're mine, boy.
Yeah.
So, Angle won, and then it was main event time. Bully Ray, and he goes out there, and he's like, there's one move that they don't do in wrestling anymore. That is pile driver.
I thought that was kind of stupid, honestly.
I liked it. It put over the pile driver.
Yeah, but, I mean, wrestlers have, like, a agreement between each other. It's like, doesn't that take you out of the match? It's like, you're talking about stuff that doesn't normally happen, you know? I mean...
No, because if you're two competitors, that are competing to beat each other on, you know, on who's the better wrestler, who's the better warrior out there. But there are things you don't do. It's like, I'm not gonna kick you in the nuts. I'm not gonna rip out your eyeball. You know, there's some pride in beating someone. Then you say there are some moves that we just won't do, but tonight I'm gonna do them because I have to do them to beat you. Or maybe he just wants to injure him. So I like that. I thought it was good.
But we've had all these heated feuds, and it's like, why aren't these guys just constantly doing pile drivers?
Because it's the one move that even if you hate the other guy and you want to beat him and prove you're better, you just won't do that because you could actually take him out.
I mean, Triple H takes out a sledgehammer and he wants to pummel the man with it.
Different company.
I don't know. I didn't like it, honestly.
I liked it.
Silly.
Put over the pile driver. It's the one move you're not going to do. When you're out there, competitor to competitor, warrior to warrior, athlete to athlete, you want to beat the guy if you don't like him, but you don't want to physically injure the man that he's out and can't support his family. But Bully Ray, he said, forget all that. I'm going to put you out, Sting. I am going to hurt you. I liked it. Then he hits the pile driver. You think it's over, but no, he kicks out. And then they did a move, and then he goes to get a knife. And I was like, holy shit, he's going to cut Sting. He's going to cut Sting. He's going to cut the man's throat.
Stanger, he's going to cut you.
But no.
No.
He doesn't. He cuts the ring open. I've never seen that. I like that. Exposes the wood.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. A lot of shenanigans, a lot of hoopla.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sting's old. He's old. He's washed up. We got to do some bullshit here.
TNA loves bullshit in their main events, but this was a good exception, though.
Yeah, it was needed here. And so I thought it was one of the best Sting matches.
Yeah, they're few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Probably a little too many run-ins, but still, good stuff.
All those ace and eight tacks. They just come in and...
They are really just the flock. Up. They are the flock for Bully Ray's awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That was Slammiversary. I thought it was a good show. I liked it.
Happy Slammiversary.
Happy Slammiversary!
I liked the women's match pretty well. The last main event was pretty good, and the Ultimate X was pretty good. I guess it was a pretty solid show, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Good outing by TNA.
Did you miss that you didn't go to it live?
Yeah, I think it would have been a fun show to be there live.
Hmm. Well, if I was there, Jack, I would have gone with you.
Aww.
And then...
Oh, my little intrepid ever.
Mm-hmm. But oh well, I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Would you have reconsidered after I said that?
The little incher baby and all that?
Yeah.
No, I think that just fills my heart with joy.
Aww.
It makes me want to come out even more.
Makes you want to come. Whoa, dude. Oh.
And more.
Mm-hmm. All right, Inchman. We should probably go to break.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Kevin Kleinrock calling in here to the program. He's going to be talking about El Lucha. And we're going to just give you thumbs.
All righty, we'll be back.
Hello, everybody. You better dress up warm because winter is now on In Your Head at IYHWrestling.com.
All right, we're back once again here on In Your Head. And now we're joined Incher. I think it's like his fourth appearance on In Your Head.
Man.
Yeah, at least third, maybe fourth.
Fourth, fifth, third, something around there. There's got to be some type of historian or a fact checker out there who will know this. But we have the return of Kevin Kleinrock here at In Your Head.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. We always enjoy talking to you. And we want to talk right away here. You got Viva LA Lucha, and we're going to talk about the Kickstarter program, what you guys, you know, want to accomplish, and talk all about that. But first of all, do you want to give everyone, like, a synopsis of what LA Lucha is?
Yeah, sure. So Viva LA Lucha is our television series that is meant to be where the up-and-coming workers from Mexico and the up-and-coming workers from the U.S. can get in the ring and learn the opposite style, so that we can create kind of a new generation of wrestler who can excel against anyone in an American ring, a Mexican ring, or anywhere around the world, really. And the idea kind of came from, as we were developing our own TV series over the last number of years, that there was going to be a need for talent like this. And then over the last year or so, that idea has expanded even more as AAA starts to prepare to come to the U.S. And as we see, TNA still hasn't really done anything with Lucha, and there's been rumblings that even they've wanted to. And then WWE still hasn't really figured out how to recreate the Rey Mysterio success. So Viva LA Lucha has come together as kind of an attempt to, for lack of a better way of putting it, be Lucha-infused development, and not just for Mass Republic, but for the entire wrestling industry. And in order to accomplish that, we tapped two great co-executive producers who absolutely will understand and know how to do this in Conan and Sean Waltman, two guys who have been everywhere and done everything in wrestling, including, Conan currently as the head writer, booker for AAA after his successful, very successful U.S. run in WCW and TNA. And Waltman, you know, who I'm sure most of, if not all the listeners know his storied history, from the indies to on top of WWE, on top of WCW, to back on top of WWE. And then he spent a number of years in Mexico in AAA after his last WWE run. So here's two guys that can absolutely help the talents get to the next level. And so we're taking a Kickstarter as a way to raise the money to shoot the pilot and 8 webisodes of Viva LA Lucha. Our goal is to get it to television, but if it just survives as a web series, whether it's be on Hulu Plus or YouTube or any of the other growing digital platforms, we're fine with that as well. But after the experiences that we had with Wrestling Society X and with a pilot for a Lucha show that we did for G4, we really wanted to be able to make this in our vision and not have to cater to a network's vision because it was the network's money. I would do the Wrestling Society X thing over again for that budget, no doubt about it. I would do the G4 thing over again for, that budget. But we really want to create a product that we can be proud of in the ring and the action from bell to bell. And so we wanted to take the Kickstarter so that wrestling fans and people who want to see good wrestling on television, wrestling that will look more like the Dragon Gate and Evolve kind of style of wrestling than what you see on TV these days with WWE and TNA. And so we're looking for support. And for those that don't know how Kickstarter works, basically we set a goal, which in our case here is $60,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but really it's like 2% of what Wrestling Society X's budget was. And, we're making episodes that are going to be ready for television, and that means they have to be color-corrected and audio mixed and closed captioning. All that stuff really just adds up. So we're looking for the $60,000 to do the pilot and 8 webisodes. And so with Kickstarter, we ask people to back our project. That's the terminology. And you can back it for anywhere from $1 to whatever. And unless we get $60,000 in backing, we don't get any of the money. Nobody's credit cards ever get charged, and everybody goes their separate ways at the end of the campaign, which at this point has 26 days left to go. But it's not just like donating to charity. You get stuff for your money. And if you go to the page, if you go to Kickstarter.com and you look up Viva LA Lucha or even Viva La Lucha, you'll see all the cool stuff that we have that you can get for helping us make the show, everything from DVDs of the show and video on demand of the show to live behind-the-scenes iPay-per-view of the TV taping, all the way up to get blown to San Diego, see the pilot before anybody else with Conan, go as a VIP to a Lucha show and TJ with Conan, and all sorts of stuff in between. So that's kind of the gist of it in 6 minutes or so.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say you mentioned Conan and Waltman. I think both guys for different reasons. Like Conan was a guy who came from Mexico and really got over in the United States. So I think he would help with some of the guys, some of the lucha wrestlers. And then you got Waltman, who was when he came around, he was really the smallest guy and had a great career in wrestling when it was primarily bigger guys. You know, now it's a lot of smaller guys. So I think both guys wouldn't really know how to help guys, coming from a different environment.
And when I had a conversation with Sean the other day, actually, and he reminded me, I had totally forgotten that even before he went to WWE, he spent a good amount of time in Japan where the lucha style had really started to influence Japanese wrestling there. And he was wrestling against all the great light heavyweights in Japan before he even went to WWE. So he really has that kind of world ability. You know, here's a guy who you could, throw him on a card anywhere around the world with anyone, and you're going to get a good match. And so that's kind of what it's about. It's about teaching, the lucha style and the American style, or as Sean calls it, the quote-unquote main event style, are very different. I mean, even down to, the core of in traditional pro wrestling, when you're doing moves to your opponent, you do the moves to the left side. And in lucha libre, you do the moves to the right side. And so, if you're getting in the ring and you're trying to work against someone who's never worked the opposite style, it can make for a confusing conversation, a confusing match. And beyond that, though, it's like lucha libre, there's a lot more comedy usually in the matches. There's a lot less realism sometimes to the way that moves are done and the way that moves come off. And so it really does take getting down to the nuts and bolts and giving some good training. I mean, that's the thing with Conan is that, he was from, we raised in Miami and then lived in San Diego. And so he was, quote unquote, American. And so when he ended up going to ECW and then WCW, people just kind of assumed that he knew how to work that style. But he'll be the first to tell you he was clueless because all his training and all his wrestling, he'd been selling out tens of thousands of seat arenas in Mexico, but he had never worked the American style. And so it really took him quite some time until he was in WCW and a little bit after he had started in WCW that it really started to click with him. And become kind of second nature or first nature, wrestling that style. And you can see his influence now back in Mexico and in AAA over the last number of years. AAA versus CMLL, AAA is a much more American, much more WWE style promotion, in terms of style of in-ring and angles and storylines. And so, it really is. It's a great opportunity for the wrestlers to be part of it. And for the fans who are going to get to see the show and see this really good hybrid style that will be much more entertaining, I think, in the ring than just your average pro wrestling match.
Yeah, I was asked, so you want to like a hybrid? That's a good term of the lucha style, and if you want to mix in some of the American guys, so it's like its own product.
Yeah, and it's like we have a number of Americans who have either wrestled lucha or feuded with big name Mexican wrestlers or have that experience that are really interested in being part of this project. Guys like the Young Bucks, Adam Pearce, Brian Cage, guys that are either well known on the independents or getting well known like Cage, who people don't think of. I was doing an interview the other day. And the person was like, well, look, how are you saying this is a lucha show when you've got Adam Pearce, on there as someone that's going to be helping to train people? And I said, you got to take a step back and think about Adam's run as the NWA world champion. He was going around the country, in the middle of the 2000s, working in front of thousands of people in arenas, in NWA shows, wrestling guys like Blue Demon and wrestling guys like Santo. And so even though Adam is an American wrestler, he knows how to get in the ring now against the best and the biggest name lucha guys and put on a match that's going to speak to that audience. He knows, their types of moves and how to tell their types of stories. And so while he's an American wrestler, he definitely is perfect for this show and for the development and training of wrestlers who will hopefully be able to, you know, main event or work high up on the card, both in Mexico and in the United States or wherever else the journeys may take them.
Yeah, Adam Pearce is awesome. He's definitely one of the most, you know, there's a lot of guys now from the independents that are made it to TV, you know, on WWE and TNA, and Adam Pearce is one of the guys that's been overlooked a lot, you know, by the big two, and he's just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know where TNA's head is at lately with this whole gut check challenge thing that they've been doing, because literally you've got three guys that they've rejected that I am proud to say are part of this project. Adam and Brian Cage and I'm totally Ivelisse Bellet. So two guys and a girl. Who all of them went through the their quote unquote gut check, and all three of them were not signed, and it just blows my mind how these decisions are made. I mean, I understand that you can't add a billion people to your roster, but I think that I think that, that there's definitely some decisions I would have made different decisions, and I'm proud to say that, you know, if we get this funded, all three of those talented workers will find their way to Viva LA Lucha.
Yeah. You mentioned the Young Bucks, too. That's another team. I'm a big fan of the Young Bucks. And they when they went heels, like, to me is when they really took off.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, you know, they kind of have that classic heel, pretty boy, who it's really easy to dislike them. You know, the Shawn Michaels, heel turn kind of gimmick about them. And I don't know if you saw their stuff from Evolve over the last weekend, but just that attitude that they have now and that they're showing, where basically it's like, look, you need us. You're not going to fine us. You're not going to suspend us. You know, we are your best wrestlers, and we're going to do what we want when we want. It really fits them well. You know, they even made there was a handshake, joke in there thrown in, because they have to keep the passport, allegedly not shaking the right people's hands backstage at WWE. So, but I mean, they themselves, if you look at their style of wrestling, That's a lucha hybrid style, I would say. They're very solid technical wrestlers, but they also pull out the amazing, you know, lucha high spots. And so it's going to be really great to have them involved. And, like, I get excited about, you know, putting them in matches that nobody's ever seen before, something like the Bucks versus, Extreme Tiger and Hijo de Rey Mysterio, or things like that that we'll be able to do. If we get this show backed and funded and can shoot it.
Mm-hmm. The first time I saw those guys, it was actually at an NWA show when they, it was here at one of the casinos. And at the time that they were, they're good guys, and they came out to Mbop, and I thought, oh my God.
Well, that's the heat magnet right there.
Yeah, but at the time they were trying to be like
they were
good
faces.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. When they very, very first started, it was the crowd always got into it. As much as people did not care, you know, especially by the time they were really wrestling, for Hansen, it was easy for the crowd to kind of sing along and get into it. But yeah, it was probably that casino series of shows that they did, the NWA, that was, you know, what I was talking about with Adam going around the country, maybe not on that particular show, but they worked for years going around the country doing these casino shows and these big Hispanic market arena shows where they were performing in front of thousands of people and doing really well.
It was a really packed crowd. I remember being there live. It was pretty sweet. It was one they had Sid on. I don't know if you remember when Sid was there for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's Kickstarter.com, Viva LA Lucha, just search for that. And you, like you said, if you donate some money, you can, you're not just giving you guys money. You can get stuff back and help be part of the promotion.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, it's the reason we chose Kickstarter as opposed to some of the other fundraising sites is that we wanted to assure people that backed us that this product was going to get made And there's other sites where if you raise any amount of money, you get that money at the end, regardless of how many people or whether you raise all the money. But so with the $60,000 goal, let's say that we raised $5,000 or $10,000 online, we would still have to go out and figure out how to find the other tens of thousands of dollars to make the product happen. And if we couldn't, then your money you donated could potentially kind of just disappear. And we didn't want that to be the case. So we're all in, all or nothing. We've got a long way to go. We got 26 days, but we've got, you know, we're still $58,000 plus that we need to get. You know, if you're listening and, you want to help get a new cool and fun wrestling show get made, go to the Kickstarter site, learn a little bit more about it. There's a great little video on there and read about all the rewards. And like I said, if you back it, all they do is they like check your credit card for a dollar, make sure it's legit, and then nobody gets charged unless we get our goal, and that will be on Tuesday, July 2nd, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. And if we get our goal by Tuesday, July 2nd, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, then everyone's cards will be charged, and you'll get your rewards as we make the show. So check it out. And if you can't afford to donate but you still like the idea, just help us spread the word. There's a ton of people out there that still have no idea what we're trying to do. So you can tweet about us or put us on Facebook or just share it amongst your friends. It'd be awesome. If you follow us on Twitter at Masked, M-A-S-K-E-D, Republic, at Masked Public, or at Viva LA Lucha Show, we're always posting updates and information. And then if you go to the Kickstarter page, actually, there's an updates tab, and we're starting to post videos of older matches of this style. You know, what are some things we've done in the past that kind of represent this? So, like, the other day we posted a match from XPW of Mexico's Most Wanted versus Brian XL and Smokey Carmichael from one of our shows. It was kind of always talked about as one of the best tag team matches in history of XPW. It was a Mexican team versus an American team in this great blend of styles. Speaking of the Young Bucks, tomorrow I'm going to put up a match of the Young Bucks versus Los Luchas from the NWA TV pilot that I produced with the NWA back in 2008. So check out the Kickstarter site, lots of fun stuff, and help us make some cool wrestling TV.
Yeah. And is it fun to, you know, to find some of these guys who aren't, like, established on WWE or TNA or maybe not used because they have attitude problems, you know, in their minds anyway, and, you know, kind of bring together some of these guys and, you know, create something?
Well, I don't think I ever go – okay, I'm going to look at that as two separate criteria.
Right.
I love finding young, upcoming talent. Mm-hmm. Or just unrecognized talent. I think if you look at Wrestling Society X and you look at what we actually did in terms of the wrestling on that show, ignore the things that, like, MTV kind of really put on the show, like the explosions and the way that some of the matches were, or all the matches were edited, where it was like high spot, crowd shot, high spot. If you actually watch, like, we had a web show that went with that called WS Extra, where we did, like, we edited the matches, and not in TV. That was really well received. But think about the talent that we had there in WSX. We were the first people to put the Dragon Gate promotion guys on national television, you know, outside of Japan, or international television outside of Japan. You know, those guys, Horiguchi and Yoshino, who were among the world's best wrestlers. Two guys that went on to WWE in Matt Seidel, who became Evan Bourne, and most recently, Tyler Black, who is now Seth Rollins in The Shield. Jack Evans and Teddy Hart went on to be big stars in Mexico after WSX. And Evans still to this day. Evans hasn't come back. You know, Jack Evans is a TV and pay-per-view semi-main event guy and a house show main event guy all over Mexico. You know, look at what we did with WSX and the talent that we were able to take from lesser-known status and bring to national, international attention. And I think that that's what we have the potential to do here with Viva LA Lucha. And that really excites me and drives me. And I'm very excited about that. In terms of, you know, taking the so-called misfits of wrestling, I wouldn't say that I get motivated by being able to hone in the misfits, yet somehow, if you look back at my career and the projects that I've done, I have always had a number of misfits on the shows or in the promotions, be it XPW or WSX or Urban Wrestling or wherever. So I am sure that we will definitely see our share of wrestling's misfits come. And I do take pride in being able to work successfully with guys who maybe have other promoters or producers that they don't work as well with. So that's always nice to be able to kind of make a good situation out of that and be able to focus on the talent and not the extracurricular side of things. So I think that, you know, that's why I even said, you know, why we're looking at not just doing the pilot. I mean, the decision to do the pilot and the 8 webisodes was partially financial. The fact that we knew that we needed to raise close to the $60,000 just to do the pilot itself right, once you start looking about flying people in from all over and the set and the, you know, everything it takes to put on episode 1, and then to do 7 more episodes in the same location over the same 2 days, you really, you know, those later episodes can be produced per episode much, much cheaper. And so that's why we said, well, let's make this whole Kickstarter thing about the pilot and 8 episodes. But to me, like I mentioned before, even if this particular show never made traditional television and it just became a series that would be online, be it on a Hulu Plus or a YouTube or whatever, I just think that there's so much value in this show, both as entertainment to the fans and as development of talent for the entire industry, and as personal development for the wrestlers that will get to be part of it and be, you know, kind of coached by Conan and Waltman and Pierce and the others, that I'm very excited about doing this, having nothing to do with anything else that Master Public might have going on in terms of other TV shows or productions. I really think that this will be fun and of value, and so I hope we can get it made.
Yeah. Well, good luck. And, you know, to Master Public being involved, that's going to be cool. Because now people can buy some cool masks of the guys they see on the show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like, we have our web store, which is luchashop.com, where you can get, like, the only official Conan t-shirt and other t-shirts and merchandise of Lucha guys. But, you know, we have an entire merchandise machine set up at this point to do apparel and masks and merchandise. So, absolutely. We get this show made. And you will be able to get all sorts of cool merchandise quickly. You won't have to, like, you know, wait 6 months after the show gets put together to buy, like TNA with the Aces and 8 gear. People wanted that gear right away, and it took them about 6 months to start coming out with it. But we've got our little machine in place. And so, you know, guys like Hijo del Misterio and Bestia 666 and some of the Americans that we end up bringing on the show and discovering and developing will definitely being able to deliver merchandise quickly through luchashop.com.
Cool. All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Well, thank you. And
thank you. I appreciate giving me the time and the opportunity. And, you know, hopefully I can come back on this summer and talk about the fact that we're going to go and shoot the show if we get the right support.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, we'll put all the information up on the website, but it's real easy. Just go to Kickstarter.com and search for Viva LA Lucha or Viva La Lucha, and you'll find all the information.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Messiah, and you're listening to IYHWrestling.com.
All right, we're back once again here. On In Your Head, Inchman.
Yeah.
IYHWrestling.com.
Well, there you go.
Bibbida bibbida boo.
It's always
habbida hada ha.
It's always a good time here on IYHWrestling.com. Mm-hmm. Fun times had by y'all.
Exactly. We're going to talk about some wrestling, about the wrestling this week.
I feel a little left out. I didn't watch Raw. And I had no desire to watch Raw. And I could tell it was probably a crummy Raw because nobody was spoiling it on Facebook.
I will disagree. I thought it was a very good Raw.
It was a good one this week. Mm-hmm. Hmm. What all happened that tickled your wrestling fancy?
An awesome six-man match with Team Hell No and Randy Orton versus The Shield.
Okay.
These guys, you know, everyone, us included, they want to be negative interest. They, I hate the wrestler at all costs. That's what you hear from the quote-unquote IWC. It's a group of fans, a group of like-minded individuals. They watch this thing that's called professional wrestling. And they watch it so they can bitch and they can moan and they can say, I hate everything. I hate it all. I hate John Cena. I hate the WWE. I hate Raw. I hate 3 hours. I hate 180 minutes. I just hate. I hate everything.
You probably agree to all of those things, though, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just, I said us included. I said I'm going to say myself, and I'm guilty of this many times, but, when something is good, I want to say it's good. And I'm saying there is some there are a lot of highlights in the WWE that I love, and one of them is The Shield. The Shield is friggin' awesome. And I put this on Facebook. I'm standing by it. People are like, oh, my God, oh, I'm just saying that. I'm going to cry. But fuck those people. The Shield and Daniel Bryan are having some of the best matches ever on Raw. Definitely in the last 12 years, I put that up there. Like, well, what are you? How can you say that when I had a Kurt Angle and you had Chris Benoit? Well, their guys were good. Well, I never really even thought Chris Benoit was that great. But Kurt Angle was awesome. Shawn Michaels was awesome. Lots of guys were awesome. Eddie Guerrero. That does not change the fact that The Shield are awesome. And Daniel Bryan is awesome. Daniel Bryan right now is a total package. He's just amazing in the ring, just totally kicking ass. And he's over, and he's got a great personality. The Shield just having some of the best matches on Raw. So, yeah, there's a lot of shit, but there's also a lot of really good stuff. And so when you see the good stuff, you should also talk about it. I know people, they just want to bitch and moan and cry, but I'm tired of that bullshit. I'm watching, I want to find something I like, and there's stuff on there that I like, and I want to talk about it. Sandow, the man is amazing. A friggin' Gordian Knot! They're trying to build them up for a feud with Sheamus. Will it work? I don't know. But I love Damien Sandow. The guy's awesome. And you know what, Daniel Bryan? They're like, you know what, Daniel Bryan? You got the stupid beard, but you're fucking over. You go out there, you can say anything, and the people chant it. We're giving you the ball. Let's see what happens. And the man is running with it. The man is taking it and running with it. The man's friggin' lighting it up. He's tearing the house. Devon Dudley said, I'll tear the roof. No, you didn't, Devon. You suck. But Daniel Bryan, that man, tears the roof off the building. And as much as I like CM Punk, I think Daniel Bryan is better at one thing, and that is he comes off more legit. I can buy Daniel Bryan. He's very small. He's even smaller than CM Punk. But I can buy him kicking ass. He's out there. He's showing a lot of aggression, and I think WWE likes that. I think they're really testing to see if this guy has it. Is he just this a comedy guy that's over? No, I think the guy really has it. He's out there. He's kicking ass. He had this amazing match with the Ryback. The friggin' Ryback. He's out there kicking ass with Ryback, and Ryback is not known for having good matches, but he had a really good match with Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan looked like he was certain the Ryback. He was beating the shit out of him with forearms. He was putting him in submissions, and I totally bought it. Now, when CM Punk had his feud with The Rock, I did not buy it. And I'm not here to belittle the CM Punk, because I think he's also one of the highlights of WWE over the last several years. But Daniel Bryan, to me, is even better. This guy's awesome. Matches are amazing. And I saw one guy, he was like, I can't believe they jumped Daniel Bryan out to the Ryback. Oh, shut up! If you watch that match, he was not dropped. In fact, he even won the match, so I don't even know what the guy's talking about. But both guys came out stronger. Ryback had an awesome match, which he's not known for. It's probably the best Ryback match I've ever seen. And Daniel Bryan came out stronger. He looked legit. He looked like he could go with the WWE's monster. I thought it was excellent booking, where they protected both guys and actually elevated both guys at the same time.
Okay. Cool. Sounded like something I should have watched.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to Bray Wyatt now. Of course, there's some stuff that I didn't like, but the PT peers, do I have to see Prime Top players? No! But, they're there. Do I have to see Alberto Del Rio versus Big E again? Do I have to see a best 27 feud with Alberto Del Rio and Big E? No, I don't need to see that.
So, I take it Dolph Ziggler's still out of action.
Yes, he is.
Is he ever going to get better from this head injury? That must have been a pretty serious kick. Good Lord. What? Ooh.
I think they're real pussies now about, like, head stuff. Used to be like, you get a concussion, like, just get in there, shut up.
And they had a bucket of dirt on the side of the ring just so you could rub your head in it.
I mean, Mick Foley would get, like, 8 concussions a match. They're like, well, you're probably pretty dumb, but what the hell?
And now he's always talking about how his brain's messed up. He's like, I can hardly remember anything a lot anymore.
He's a different case. But, I mean, he's like football. Someone get concussion, this IC stars. Like, well, it would be a point of pride to just get right back in the game.
Yeah.
But you can't do that anymore. All because of that fag from Harvard. The Harvard fag.
Christopher Nowinski.
Yeah. He's like, oh, man, these head injuries are bad for you. Shut up! Let them go up there and beat the shit out of each other. That's what I'll say.
Well. What all is John Cena out there doing?
He was not on the show.
No John Cena on the entire Monday Night Raw, the entire 3 hours?
Not that I remember. He didn't stand out if he was. He was not a big part. I don't think he was on the show.
Man.
Vince McMahon was on the show. Stephanie McMahon was on the show.
Oh, my goodness. Were they talking about Triple H?
Yeah, they were telling Triple H, you can't wrestle. And they were almost like, I think they were kind of the heels in this. Like, they're trying to keep Triple H out of being an in-ring competitor. But he's like, I'm doing it anyway. I'm a fucking man. I'm going out there, injury or not, and I'm kicking ass.
Vince, there are wrestlers who need to be buried, and I will bury them.
So he's going to be... Oh, yeah, Cena was on the show. He wrestled Curtis Axel.
It would have been better if you wrestled Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle.
They just put me in the Hall of Fame, and I switched. That would have been awesome.
Mm. You know, Michael Cole actually called him Curtis Angle.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Whoops. How about if they took that guy on Impact and replaced Michael Cole with him?
That would probably be better.
Yeah, I think that would be an upgrade. Maybe that's why they got rid of him, because he switched companies.
There's some people out there, too, they don't like you. You don't like Curtis Axel. I like him. I like the man. I like the push. I'm digging it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's different. He's beating all the top guys, but he's not beating them. He's not pinning them. The first time it happened, I was like, well, that's kind of bullshit. But now it goes on every week. It says he beats all these top guys by count out, by DQ. And then it's like, I beat him. And I like it. And I think the more, it's a slow build, because the more he does that, the more heat it will get. They're like, this guy's saying he's beating all these guys, but he ain't beating them.
Jack.
And every time he's out there, he's getting better. This was a very good match for Mancina.
You have just walked into your Ted DiBiase Jr. moment.
No, Ted DiBiase.
That's what you've just done. Trust me, mark my words. In a few more months, you will hear no more of Curtis Axel.
No, I like Curtis Axel. The man's a lot better than you know what, I didn't know this, but I always thought that Ted DiBiase was like deaf or mildly retarded by the way he talked. But then I saw on they did a YouTube video where they're asking all the people about the Y Clan, and for God knows why, but they asked Ted DiBiase Jr. and he was like, "Well, I think that he's like a total hick. He's a friggin' redneck." Ted DiBiase is a redneck. Ted DiBiase Jr. So when I thought he was like a retard, or he was like, he was just, you know, something wrong with the guy when he was talking on TV, yeah, that was him trying to cover up his redneckness.
Hmm. Well, Jack, I think my comment still stands.
I think you're wrong.
I think this is your Ted DiBiase Jr. moment.
He's already shown more than Ted DiBiase Jr. has.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got Paul Heyman.
We'll see.
Guy's good in the ring. I like him. Good man.
I'm not saying he's a bad wrestler, but his gimmicks have been really just, eh. I don't know.
His gimmicks in the past, but this is totally new. That's like saying, you know what, this Undertaker guy, I don't think he's going to make it. That mean Mark Callis gimmick, that was pretty lame.
No, I'm judging the man on his current gimmick. I don't think it's very good either.
I don't like the name, but I think that this has more of a chance to stick as opposed to if he just went out there and just started beating everybody. I like it. I'm enjoying it. I'm giving it a chance. I think it's a slow build, and I think it will... the way it's built right now, I think it'll be slow, it'll take time, and then we'll see it. You'll be like, this guy is good. He's not a guy who can just go up there. He's not a flashy guy. He can't just go up there and wow you in one night. But he'll do it slow, and he'll stick to you. And that's what I like about him.
I'll say this, Jackie Jones. If a few months from now the man has gotten over and the crowd is behind him and everybody loves the Curtis Axel, I will come on the air and admit that I'm wrong. But
you will verbally fillet me on air.
No, I will just admit that I'm wrong. However you take that, that is solely up to you. But if I'm not wrong, I am going to rub it in your face. Just like Austin Aries.
He didn't. He just stood up.
I'm just going to stand up and have my manhood in front of your face. That is what's going to happen, Jack.
I'll just giggle.
You won't giggle.
It's like a friggin' Skittle. What are those little fruits called?
I'm going to help you humiliate me now. Is that what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you what it is so you can make fun of me with it? No, Jack, that's not how it works. I know what it is. Well, not really. But I do know what it is. I'm not going to tell you. So how do you like them apples?
Runts. It's like,
who told him?
It'll be like,
you assholes! Why did you tell him?
A banana runt and two little Skittles.
That is a pretty funny visual, I'll give you that. All right.
This is a good question, though. President Clinton, with the Curtis Axel naming technique, what would Ted DiBiase Jr.'s name be? So you'd have to take like $1 million and make that into a name.
I don't know. What was Ted DiBiase's?
So be like
dad's
name. His name would be like Ted Theodore Money Machine.
That is a pretty good name, though. The Money Machine. Bring out the Money Machine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Theodore Bank Account.
Nah, Money Machine's much better.
Alright. Theodore Money Machine.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That was pretty good. That'd be a good name. You might check off, man.
Maybe I'll be redeemed. And you'll be stuck with Curtis Axel.
Fucking Redneck McGee. What if he just thought,
God, I'm the Money Machine. Give me some beer. I'll drink it on camera. Ain't never seen that gimmick before. Yeehaw! A Money Machine. Does that sound like something you need to see?
Yes. Now, do you think he should? If he came back, do you think they should try to make him more like Ted DiBiase, like more of the money gimmick, or do you think they should go with the redneck?
I guess they should try something new. So yeah, go with the redneck, I guess.
Rampage Jackson and TNA Incher.
He's in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
He signed a contract? Or
so he signed with like Spike TV, so he's going to be on both Bellator and TNA.
Oh, like the King Mo?
Yes.
I remember Rampage. Hulk Hogan being like, we're going to bring out the King Mo. And I'm like, who cares about the King Mo?
I don't even know who that is still. Whenever I hear that, I think like Mo from Men on a Mission has been like Mabel died and he's been like.
At least Rampage Jackson is a name. He's pretty big in UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give him credit there. It's kind of pathetic when they're like, we're bringing out King Mo. And like everybody's just scratching their head. Who's King Mo?
Like this guy.
Exactly. So, that's an upgrade for TNA.
I want to thank. I think I forget the guy's name. He's like some Mexican dude on our message on the Facebook page, but he's one of the good ones. I like that guy. But anyway, he posted this link, and it was the Pro Wrestling Gorilla, and they did a human centipede.
Pro Wrestling
spotted.
Gorilla. Oh, they did a human centipede spot.
Yeah, they there was like five guys like. Locked in like some type of like leg, you know, leg scissors around the face, and then the other dude came in and turned them all around so they're all in their belly, and like he's giving them like he's giving the Boston Crab to like five guys in a row. It's pretty sweet. And like the commentator mentioned a human centipede and Colt Cabana's like, oh no, you better not say that. I'm in Colt Cabana. And it was a good moment though. I like.
Excellent.
All right, Itchman, we got a caller here. Should we go to the callers?
Sure.
I want to say I enjoyed the Raw. I like the show. They're trying to rebuild the Usos.
I think they deserve a rebranding. You know, I kind of like them and their little war cry dance thing that they did.
They are good. They're good. Their idea to reinvent them is they gave them face paint. It's not really working.
Heck yeah.
And I will say, have you ever seen their tights where they have, like, the built-in hanky in the back?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was built-in, though.
Well, I don't know if it is, but it's, like, that shiny material. Anyway, I looked it up on the Gay Hanky Code. And according to the Gay Hanky Code, and they wear it in their right pocket.
Don't you have anything better to do? You gotta look up the Gay Hanky Code.
Well, how often do you see a wrestler walk around with a big-ass hanky on?
I didn't even know that, really. I wouldn't even put that together.
Well, that's like a hanky, a bright hanky out of someone's pocket, and it indicates different things in the gay community.
Raven carried a hanky. It's not
yeah,
right.
So he's, it probably meant something to the gay community.
Man, everything means something to the gay community.
So I looked it up, and according to this, depending on what shade of blue, but I'm saying it's a medium blue, which means that the Usos are cop suckers. So basically, they like to give head to people dressed as policemen.
Well, that's very bizarre insight into that. You got all that just from a hanky?
Yes!
Man. Guess I need to look up what a hanky means.
So, well, what color hanky do you normally carry?
I don't carry a hanky.
We'll just make one up.
Craig. I guess the closest thing is probably my wet ones.
What color are they?
They're just white.
They're white. Well, which pocket do you wear them in?
I keep them in my left pocket.
That means that you're into beating your meat.
Is that what it really says?
Yep, beat my meat.
Well, I guess they got me pegged. This seems to be a foolproof system.
The gay community knows what's going on.
Man, somebody needs to, I don't know, that's kind of like a carnival act right there, where they guess your age and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have the gay community in the carnivals.
All right, speak of the gay community, we got a Mighty Lexar on the line.
I'm not gay.
Oh, all right. What color hank you got? What color hank you rocking there, Lexar?
I don't have a hanky. I use Kleenex.
Right. Well, that's why. Which pocket do you keep it in?
Probably my light one.
Are they white ones?
Yeah, they're white. Pure white. Pure white.
That means you're also into the meat beating, but that you'll do both.
What is both?
You'll jack off both people.
See, you should have had it in the left, Lexar.
Intra knows the deal.
I'm much more happier with my result.
All right, what's going on?
Anyways, I'm sure you follow prestigious tournaments.
You know what? You know what? Kleenex has its own thing.
Hello.
Kleenex means that you're...
Hi, this is...
You're a sniffer.
Yes, I sniff a lot.
I think that just means the guy's got a cold. You got a Kleenex in your pocket.
It's a sniffer.
What's a sniffer anyhow?
He likes to smell. I don't know.
I don't even know what that means. Don't you like to smell? You walk into KFC and you smell all that good chicken. Aren't you sniffing?
Well... I think it means a different thing. But, all right, Lexar. I know I'm upset, but let's get off the gay hanky code for the moment. What is on your mind in the world of wrestling?
We'll revisit this.
When I was a teenager, I used to collect these magazines that had these perfume samples.
This is all connected to the Kleenex, isn't it?
So I took out those perfume samples from the magazine.
Intra? I think we proved it again. This is foolproof.
I'm actually blowing my nose on the Wendy's napkin right now. So.
This is scary, Intra. Are you hearing this? Lexar collects the samples out of magazines.
My God.
The gay hanky code has done it again.
It's foolproof.
Can I talk about wrestling?
I asked you to, and he started talking about collecting scratch and sniffs.
There's a new rule
here on the Inch Man, here on the show, Incher. We're going back to the old one question, one topic rule.
Well, I have two topics, but I'll try to get the other one as fast as possible.
Right.
The Tournament of Death 12, the one most prestigious tournament in all of wrestling. I'm sure you follow prestigious tournaments.
I follow the Tournament of Death every whatever, however often they do it. Every two years.
Who you got winning this year?
I got Killer McGee. He's taking it.
Mm-hmm.
Ripper Watson. I have no idea. Who's in it?
Well, me, I got out of the eight performer, out of eight wrestlers that competed in this year's tournament, out of Masada, Ron Mathis, TJ Hyde, Takumi Sakamoto, Danny Hammock, and Rory Mondo, I pick TJ Hyde simply because he's the owner of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
He's owner. And you can't put any stipulations in any match he competes
in. No, I agree wholeheartedly.
DJI, BJ Jekyll.
DJ Hyde. Okay, the other topic. I went to the SmackDown tapings last night in Long Island, New York. Were you like the supporters?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jimmy James calling on webcam enter.
Yes.
Okay. The show, the taping started off with Miz TV with Kane and Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Now, Daniel Bryan accused of Orton and Kane of not believing him and winning the team for the team. This sets Kane off to get angry at Daniel Bryan, so Kane storms off the set and goes backstage. Meanwhile, Teddy Long comes out and makes a tag team main event match between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton against the Shield tag team champions, Roman Reigns and the other guy. What's his name? I forgot his name. Anyway, moving on.
Guy with the hair.
I'll get to the results of the tag team match later. Curtis Axel defeated Chris Jericho with interference from CM Punk's theme music. Now, Paul Heyman was doing commentary, and while Jericho had Curtis Axel on the Lion Tamer, he pointed at his watch, and then CM Punk's music played, and this distracted Chris Jericho. The fans popped. Punk himself did not come out as usual, as Curtis Axel just did a roll up and pinned him. Alberto Del Rio takes on Heath Slater. Never really happened because the three members of the 3MB attacked Del Rio, and Ricardo Rodriguez came in and attacked all three members of 3MB. And also, Ricardo did a nice top rope plancha off the top rope onto all the three members of 3MB on the floor. That's one of the most incredible things I've seen Ricardo do.
Excellent.
Kane hit. Now, Kane went back to the backstage area and had a confrontation with Ryback and saying some type of stuff. I didn't really pay attention, but Kane challenged Ryback to a match.
Yes.
And Kane defeated Ryback by disqualification after Ryback powerbombed Kane through a table. Now, before that happened, Kane delivered a sidewalk slam hard enough that one of the ring aprons fell off the side of the ring. That really happened. One of the ring aprons snapped off the side of the ring, so I'm not sure if the cameras will catch that.
Yeah.
So
we'll just have to wait and see on SmackDown. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. In a Damian Sandow mind reader challenge, Sandow has a computer that could play chess. And so Sandow claims that he could beat this computer in a game of chess. This comes out, Sheamus comes out and says he could beat the computer with one move and just simply go kicks the computer. And Sandow taps Sheamus, and I believe that's going to have a match at the Payback pay-per-view, but we shall see. Sandow just beat up Sheamus after he broke his computer. Fandango defeated Zack Ryder. But how about this? Another botch report. Fandango, when he was going to top rope to do his tandem leg drop, Fandango slipped and landed crotch first on the top rope.
Right on the old yam bags, Incher.
Uh-oh. You going to try to protect those
yam bags? Juju B will be upset.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, she will be thought.
She will kiss his boo boo.
Oh yeah, in the naughty area.
So that will be edited off of the SmackDown tapings.
What did he, was it his part in the show, or did he just really fall like a dumbass and then crotch himself? I'm kind of thinking it was probably spot. Or did he just go back up and redo the move?
While he was on the top rope, he slipped. And set himself properly and slipped off the top rope and fell crotch first. But he got up and did his finisher, and he was Zack Ryder. And then the main event, Orton and Daniel Bryan win by disqualification by interference of Dean Ambrose. However, before that happens, Daniel Bryan went for the dropkick on Roman Reigns, but dropkicked Randy Orton instead as Reigns ducked out of the way. And after the match, Daniel Bryan cleared out the shield. And after that, Randy Orton came from behind and RKO'd Daniel Bryan.
Heck yeah. That's why I don't watch SmackDown.
There's your SmackDown spoiler report.
Thank you, sir.
You are a good man, Mighty Lexar. The mighty, mighty Lexar.
Mighty Lexar. He was there and in person. He saw it with his own eyes. He knew it happened. Take her easy, Lexa.
But there happens to be maybe some type of reality show.
We'll talk about that later. Thank you for calling in, my friend, my Lexa. You're a good man.
Okay, be glad to give you more spoilers in the very near future.
We will be riveted to our seats, Insure.
Spoil away.
Oh, yeah.
Spoil away! Spoiler alert for everyone out there who likes to watch your show and not know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Inchman. Who we got here? We got Carol!
What's happening?
I think you and Intra talk all the time off the show, but no.
It's been a while since I've talked to Carol, actually.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been hanging back, listening, and what's been going on in the show, and just listening to y'all every week, and still going good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent.
Everything's still going good. Everybody's still going to FanFest?
I am.
Jack's going.
How about you?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going, Carol. It's not looking very good at this time.
Well, I hope so. I hope that you're going.
Well, I'd like to go. Just don't think it's going to work out for me this year.
Well, I hope so.
You need to eat some pizza for me.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to the Fan Fest, Carol?
You got it. I'm going. I'm definitely going.
I got a new nickname for you.
Do what?
Got a new nickname for you.
What's that?
Carol 805 Crockett.
There you go.
Anything about that, Incher?
Sounds like a good one. It's kind of like Rey Mysterio.
His area code, but 805 for Saturday night. That was back in the day, Andrew.
You got it.
Back in the good old days, you'd be like, I got to get home and watch that TBS Wrestling 805 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, it's supposed to be good this year.
I think maybe it was 605, wasn't it? But anyway, it was 05.
Close enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good this year at the Fan Fest. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yolanda here in the chat room, she's saying, I haven't heard this sweet Southern gentleman's voice in a long time. You're getting,
there you go.
The women revved up, Carol.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
I
will tell you this. I'm going to bring some wrestling videos that I have for sale, some WCW VHS videos for sale, and they're going for like $5 a piece. And then I've got some WWE DVDs, and they're going for like $10 a piece. So if anybody's interested, I'm bringing them to the Fan Fest sale. So
gotta move that merchandise.
That's right. I'm selling some merchandise.
Heck yeah.
So if anybody's interested, I've already got it on Facebook.
Is your niece coming this year?
Nope, just me and Katie.
Just a couple. The
That's
lovely
right.
couple.
The kissing
That's
couple.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rumor going around that Jackie Crockett might be there.
Mm.
So, you never know
Excellent.
Who may show up. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carol, you'll be Care Bear, butterfly in attendance. Who are you most looking forward to at the Fan Fest?
Oh, man.
Jackie Friggin' Jones and the 1-inch biceps.
Yeah, I want them to come. Mm. Definitely want 1-inch bicep to come.
Mm-hmm. He likes you better than me.
Well,
I think
he's
pretty keen on you as well, Jack. I just said
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
Oh, yes. And we all got to get together. We all got to get I know Brandon's going to be there.
That's the Spec Son. Breaking kayfabe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Psychon Raw on Triple H Paul.
Yep. If he's listening tonight, I got some DVDs and VHS for sale. So I'm pretty sure he'll be interested in that, too.
Everybody's dying for some VHS.
Mm-hmm.
I know I am. There's some stuff you just can't get on DVD nowadays.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How about I got right here because I'm going through my VHS tapes, venture.
Mm-hmm.
Terror in Toyland. I can't find any information on this. Like, no one's selling it on eBay. No one sold it on eBay. Terror in Toyland and a big-ass clamshell case.
Oh, my goodness. That might be worth a fortune. Or $2.
I also got Blood Feast and the clamshell. I saw that was going for like $40.
Yeah, I could see that.
And this one here was too going for some money. Return of the Alien's Deadly Spawn.
Huh.
Oh, and what kind of picture you got on Facebook, Jack? Sleeping with that freaking alien or something.
So, well, that's what happens when I'm in L.A.?
I tell you get me changing your profile picture every day. And so I'm like, good gosh. Count how many days that Jack changes his picture profile.
It gets Intro going, too.
Loves it. I couldn't tell what he was sleeping with in the photo there. I had to enlarge that one. I was like, oh, it's an alien.
If you get a chance, look at it. Check out that.
Were you more jealous of the alien or me?
Neither.
No, I don't know. I saw a pink hanky in the alien's pocket.
I just think you need some help, Jack.
What's
I'm going to say back pocket.
Let's
see your pink back pocket.
Well, it's still the left or right.
No, well, I guess it was the right back pocket.
But yeah, I hope you're going to be there.
I don't feel like saying this in front of the Carol.
I picked up on Dinger.
Nothing, Carol. Do you carry a hanky, Carol?
I knew you was going to answer. I knew you was going to say that. I just had a feeling you was going to say that. Nope.
You don't? All right.
Nope.
I think Carol definitely comes off like a hanky carry. But I'll say all right. I'll believe you this time.
You got it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I tell you, I'm ready for the Fan Fest. I know everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
And 1-inch bicep's got to be there. He's just got to pull something.
Mm-hmm.
Sit there, pull it out.
I'll just go outside, shake some money off the money tree. And I'll be like, woo, fly me on down. Here we go.
Did you buy any more games lately?
Oh, my God.
Jack's favorite subject. I've bought some stuff recently, Carol, but I'll have to. We'll have to catch up after the
show. Well, you can tell them. I mean, I'm sure people are riveted.
You need to check out my list, Carol, that I posted on Facebook. It's my entire collection of NES games. And it's all on Facebook.
Oh
you can see what I own and what I don't own.
So
check it out, Carol.
I'll have to check that one out. I have to look at that.
See?
I have to check that one out.
Check it out. I got it highlighted, the games, you know, and you can just read them all and see what I have and see what I don't have.
I think I was seeing that the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had put it up there the other day.
And you can ridicule me for the games that I don't have, and then I'll feel inadequate.
Well, at least you got, at least you did get that game, Double Dragon,
Battletoads.
Oh, gosh. Battletoads and Double Dragon.
All right, come on.
All righty, Carol. Well, Jack, we got to go on and talk to some of the other callers here, but I appreciate you calling in, Carol.
Yes.
Oh, all right. I'm there for y'all. You know it.
Oh, we know that.
But I would definitely see y'all at the Fan Fest this year.
NWA Legends Fan Fest, Mid-Atlantic Memories. Go over to NWALegends.com. Get in on all the action this August in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're going to meet all the legends in here. You're going to get the autographs. You're going to get the pictures. And most importantly, you are going to bring home the memories, the Mid-Atlantic Memories. NWALegends.com. Check it out.
You got it.
Excellent.
All right. Who else we got in the line? We got old Jimmy the Jam. Oh, he better hide. He better hide. Old Jimmy the Jam.
Hey, Jack. Hey, Incha.
Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy, you sent me a few messages on the Facebook. You said, hey, Incha. And I said, hey, Jimmy. And you never responded.
Yeah.
So I'm just here to say, what's on your mind, Jimmy Jam?
I did like the contract signed for the Chris Jericho CM Punk match on Raw.
Okay. It's good stuff.
Good times. Good times.
I thought Jericho was the contract got the payment, do you know what?
There you go. Who are you rooting for there, Inchman, Chris Jericho, CM Punk?
I just don't understand why that Jericho's picking on CM Punk. So I'm gonna say CM Punk. I want him to win. I think it's just not merited why Jericho would go and pick a fight with CM Punk. CM Punk's done nothing to him.
It seems weird too, because Jericho's kind of there to like help the young like up and comers. And Punk's established. Jericho's established. What the hell? That'd be good matches, I bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Their last feud wasn't set in the world no farther was. It was kind of shitty.
The one where he was trying to make him drink?
Yeah. He's like, drink this, bitch. He's like, oh, Mom, my mom is an alcoholic, and my sister, she's a freaking heroin addict. And you're supposed to be like, fuck that guy and heroin addiction.
There you go.
What if Jericho had just pulled out needles and started injecting them?
Time to ride the dragon. Or time to catch the dragon.
That'd been pretty sweet.
I think this is the same rival from last year that's going to happen again this year.
It might be. He might bring up bad blood and bring back the past. Damn. Drag it out into the night. And they'll have a big old fight. Woo-ha. I got you all in check.
Fight! I'm going for a fight tonight.
Sunday night's all right for a fight and get a little action in. Yeah.
Apparently John the Songman is never calling an in your head again. You know what I'm saying? Yes! Finally!
Oh, my heart is just broken into pieces. Oh, what brought this about?
Because I was picking on him.
Why were you picking on him?
You know what? The guy's kind of a dick. I mean, he's always a dick to everybody if you disagree with him, but if you just say anything to him, he reports you to Facebook.
Oh, man. He's got some thin skin, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's like, I don't think that. And then he'll send you his idea. If you say something he doesn't like, he sends you a video, a YouTube video of some chicks singing this song, "Fuck You."
Oh my goodness,
that's his idea of like of just being like, if you push him over the line, he will send you a YouTube video of some chicks singing "Fuck You."
Now, are you ready to take this bet, Jack? I bet $1 that John the Songman will call back into In Your Head.
I'm pretty sure he's going to call back in.
Yeah, so you're not going to take me up on that action. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Smart bet right there, my man.
Mm-hmm. But if anybody out there wants to take the bet, call in and let us know.
I believe. Mike, just do it for fun.
Mm-hmm. What? What?
Don't James? For Mike, just do the bet for fun.
Jimmy Jam wants to do it for funsies. You want to take me on for funsies, Jimmy?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, we're on Jimmy Jam.
I could do it for fun all the time when they're watching me have wrestling going on.
Whenever me and Inch are watching wrestling, we're just watching the wrestling. Me and Inch are just doing it for fun all night.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it true there's a new rule for In Your Head now?
That's right. One call up, you got one topic, one one question, that's it.
Mm-hmm. You got to enforce this for us, Jimmy.
No.
I'm still the enforcer, right?
Oh. No, he's just stay on forever.
Okay, well, we only have one call, one topic, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling in, Jimmy Jam. We're going to the next caller. You're a good boy, though. We love you, Jimmy Jam. We got Shaheen on the line.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you doing, Mr. Shaheen?
I'm doing well, man. I can't complain.
That is good.
Yeah, I don't really have a question, man, but I'm tired of talking about Raw every week, so I'll switch it up and kick it old school.
All right.
But, I'll just name a random wrestler that I like, and we'll just talk about him for a couple minutes.
All right, I like that. What do you think about that, Inch, man?
It sounds like a good one.
Name recognition.
Before I say that, though, man, goddamn, man, some of your callers, man, goddamn, these fucking people, man, you should give them half a question.
What?
Give them half
that,
a question, or they
awesome.
Get to ask half.
Like a half a question. You don't get, like, the subject, or the maybe you don't get the verb. It's like, what do you think of, and then it just ends, and then you just got to fill in the rest.
Just hang up on them.
Or are they just like... CM Punk versus, and then you just get it like, well, I wonder what they, and then we just go on. That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's what I would do, man.
It's like, it's like, it's like Mad Libs.
Yeah.
I think John the Songman will call in and he'll have a song about this half a question thing.
Well, he can barely form full sentences, so every question by John the Songman is a half a question.
Oh, poor John.
The shit out of me, man.
Bastard, that guy. The guy's a creep.
He is pretty freaking creepy. I'll give you that.
I'll give you that. But I mean, well, we've debated on a lot of things, and then right away, interest creepdar went off. Like, this guy's creep. No way, he's awesome. But I don't know, he's full on creep. Yeah,
yeah, man. Got like 5,000 pictures of female wrestling and shit.
Yeah, I mean, he posted this picture of some woman, like a personal photo she took, like, with her cell phone of her and her boyfriend, okay? Some actress. And they're not dressed up. They're, like, out like a softball game. Or, you know, it's just a personal picture.
Can't you see him looking at that picture? His eyes just rolling around in his head. and his nostrils up and flaring up. He's like, ah, look at this picture. I got to post this on Facebook.
And he posted it, and he writes, now it's this actress and her boyfriend sharing, you know, time together, just a personal picture. It's not a professional photo or anything like that. Just you know, anything that people post on, you know, on their Facebook, their Twitter, just something personal. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, so and so is my hero, and it's like this woman just standing there with her boyfriend, sharing a moment out in the night, is this hero? Like, what does that mean? He wants to be there with her boyfriend?
Maybe.
This is creepy.
It's creepy. Imagine if he got married. He would probably worship his wife.
Yeah, he'd be like, that's my hero there. I wish, you know, that's my role model there in the gown. It's weird. It's fucking weird. I don't. Nah,
that's what I'm saying, man. It is fucking
like,
weird.
You know what? Just like he was like antisocial, and then he started talking about that she has nude wrestling matches. And I'm like, man, that's weird coming from this guy. And then he's like, she's my hero, my number one hero. Now, how can a grown man's hero be a naked female wrestler?
Well, that sounds like an all American
like,
male
yeah,
there.
Like,
I mean.
That's weird. That when you're down at the strip club, Incher.
What? I've never stepped foot in one of them establishments.
You look up and you're like that woman who's like who's got like a G string on and shake her tatas. You're like, that there's my number one hero. That's who I want to be when I grow up.
I normally look up and say, God bless you.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Or just you just start, you know, like violently masturbating, whatever the hell you're doing, I don't know. But you know, like, that's my friggin' role model.
Well,
that's my hero up there.
My hanky's in my left pocket. If we're told the tale, it knew. The gay community knew.
My hero. Oh my god.
Yeah, fuck hankies anyway, man. Well, it's not rocking like a real man.
I wonder what
man,
color
yeah.
that is.
Man, all right,
so let's hear this wrestler.
Yeah, probably one of the worst wrestlers ever, but I got to say, like, one of my favorites, man, growing up watching him. But Abdul the Butcher.
Abby.
Terrible in the ring, good gimmick.
I loved Abby growing up, Incher. I was a huge fan. Just this big, nasty dude who ripped people apart. Dropped a pretty sweet elbow, I got to say.
Yeah.
And one of my highlights of him was his later career and stuff, but it was during the Lethal Lottery, and he's picked as Sting's partner, and he gets this giant grin on his face of just pure joy that he's in a tag with Sting, and he's got a big stick, and he runs out there just to start beating up his own partner. I loved it. Abdul the Butcher.
Funny you say that, man. I got the poster right behind me.
It is awesome. It's got this giant
man,
smile on his
that.
Face. It's great. But I will have to say, since we started in your head, all my interactions with Abdul the Butcher have been negative. It has really taken down the man in my eyes. But I will, as a kid, I loved Abdul the Butcher.
Well, you can just take the Chris Benoit line and say, I respect him as a wrestler and not a human being.
Right. Well, I mean, as far as I know, he hasn't killed, like, kids.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you can kind of, you know, tote that line with him as well, I guess.
Mm-hmm. If anyone's...
Whatever happened with that case?
The case? About that dude that was on... Hannibal?
Yeah, the Hannibal guy, whatever. Yeah.
I don't know, Jack. You hear anything about that?
I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But I don't know. I know New Jack. If you see this thing, it's Little New Jack. It's pretty funny. It's a little animated short that he's been doing for High Spots. I don't know if they've only done... They've done one anyway. And it's like a little kid New Jack. And on the one, he's like just talking about Abby having like AIDS. But yet they speed up his voice, so it's like a chipmunk, so it kind of makes it funny.
I've seen that. It's true.
I think that's something you just need to see.
I would agree.
Man, New Jack hates him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
do you have any opinions on Abby Inchman? Probably a little before. I mean, his prime is definitely way before my day. I only saw him near the end of his career.
Yeah, I never really watched him a whole lot, so I don't really have too many opinions on him as a wrestler, but I guess that's about all I got to say.
Yeah,
I pretty much just
I don't know.
Feel the same way about him, you know, as you said. Outside.
You're making the boy cry.
That's a pretty awesome story, though. You need to spot which pocket he carries his hanky in.
Which one, Abby or the boy?
Either.
Hey. When we decide to wrap up in your head and never do it again, I will tell that story.
That'd be a good farewell.
Until then, we should probably not talk about it on air.
You heard about when he got the Hall of Fame, he was trying to get money for it?
Yes.
I think that's every time he's done anything.
You can't do.
I think that's it. Every time he's seen.
It's like, give me some money.
When we saw him, he was paid to be at the fan fest, and he's like, oh,
didn't give me enough money.
I'm a Forks. And then let's put it out there. The man, he's paid to be at the Fan Fest. Part of the Fan Fest is you get to sit with a legend and have dinner with them. Okay? That's part of the thing. And then you have dinner with them, you get your picture with them. And so he's there, and he's like, he refused to talk to the fans who paid to be there, who paid to sit with him, who paid extra for the dinner, and he refused to acknowledge him. So you had to talk to his manager, who then would talk to him, who then would talk to the manager, and then talk to the people. And he also refused to let anyone take pictures with them at their table. And to put this in perspective, we had dinner with Terry Funk, we had dinner with J.J. Dillon, we had dinner with Rowdy Roddy Piper. All of them spoke to everyone at the table. They all took pictures with everybody. Rowdy Roddy Piper, even though he left a few times, wasn't there the whole time, but when he was there, he talked to everybody. He let you take pictures. The man even took off his Hall of Fame ring and passed it around the table.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so the one guy who I was glad we didn't sit with, because I think it would have ruined my experience, and that was Abdul the Butcher. I really thought that was shitty of the man.
Yeah, he seems like he's a dick, though.
Even if the man had a problem with the promoter, he shouldn't take it out on all the fans there and ruin their time. And I don't think no one else ever has any. I mean, very few people ever have any problems with Greg Price of the Fan Fest. So I really think it was all Abby's doing there.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he? He's like fucking like 70, isn't he?
He's got to be up there.
Yeah, he showed up at the.
He still looks the same.
At Atlanta, and he just tried to, like, hustle for autographs outside, and then they just
kicked him out.
Yeah.
You know what? I put up here, call and talk about wrestling. Talk about it in your head. El Santo Loco there, he's, like, friggin' running a marathon. He's like, what's that? Screw you, El Santo Loco. You know what the hell in your head is. Guy's running all around, friggin', he's running, like, how did he become a marathon runner? He's like, I grew this gray beard, now I'm going to start running marathons.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell's your daughter? Where's Jackie Jones Knight with El Santo Loco's daughter? That's why he started running. He's like, I'm running away from this bet I made with Jackie Jones. Maybe he'll forget about it.
I didn't realize that was his motive for running.
It is. Running away from his wife. His wife's like, why did you give our firstborn daughter to this crazy man?
Well, she's in the right there. I mean,
he's like, I gotta run away.
I'd be pretty pissed, too. What the hell's the matter with you?
I'm coming to collect. I'll be showing up at the local house.
This is a lot like Rumpelstiltskin, but just...
It is, indeed.
But probably a bit of a strange twist on it.
Yeah, well, indeed. I'm a strange man, Venture.
Well, you're not as strange as John the Song Man.
No, he's just a creep. All right.
Jackie All right, Jones, man. My hero.
Thank you for calling, Shaheen. You're a good man.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. What All the right. hell happened? Juju B was on the line. She hung up. Call back in, Juju B.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just going to call her. Forget it. Let's call this person
right Call around. Her right up. Forget her old man. He's going to have some problems.
Fuck this. You calling in, you hanging up. I'm calling right back. That's how it works. That's how
Your call has been forwarded to
a
voice.
Better hang up. Hang up. Damn. Maybe she got busy.
I'll give her something to get busy with. What about that?
You're making the boy cry.
I should just tell a story. Who the hell would even get mad?
It's not like we buried him beyond... Beyond anything, I mean.
Does anyone like Abdul? Like, is he well? Is he liked by anybody in the business? Really, Abdul the Butcher?
It looked like Ox Baker kind of liked him. They talked for a while.
But I think Ox Baker just likes anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a lovable guy.
All right, here on the line, we've got Johnny Cakes.
Hey, how you doing?
I was talking John the Song Man, but this is Johnny Cakes.
And Taz is stuck on the Sopranos.
Before we get to you, Johnny Cakes, do you mind if you just stay here for 1 second?
Nope.
All right, we're going to talk to Juju B, then we're going to get to John Cakes.
You didn't have to cut him off for me.
All right, well, we're getting going back to Johnny Cakes. And just hold on there, Toots.
Okay.
All right. Johnny Cakes! What's on your mind, my man?
I saw a thing this morning on the Facebook.
Uh-huh.
It said, Finger Pump of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't cost WCW its ratings. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. It did in a way. But the way I look at it, if they had done that and not mouthed off about Foley in the beginning of the show,
mm-hmm.
then they might be fine.
I don't really think either one's like, this is it. Oh, my God, they said Mick Foley.
Yeah,
the whole show's over. Oh, my God, I think it's a lot. You can look at that and say this was the start and everything that followed that. Because let's face it, if Nitro was still as good as it was in 96 and 97, yeah. It wouldn't have mattered if they did a couple stupid things.
Yeah.
All companies do. You can't ruin a company by one angle.
I have no problem with bad guys doing TV things for the world or the past thoughts or the bad guys do scummy things. That's the idea of the character, right?
That's what I'm always telling Incher. He's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like,
yeah, you didn't like... Incher doesn't like Curtis Axelton because of the same thing.
I don't like Curtis Axel because it's just a bad name.
Yeah, it's a bad name, but it's a good character developing, I guarantee you.
I like it too.
Well, you can't guarantee anything. I'll fucking take that back. But you know what I mean.
It's like he just laughs at the camera, and it's like, it just seems really like Bush League to me. I don't like the guy, to be honest.
No, I think he's going someplace.
I agree with Johnny Cakes.
He's getting the rope from Heyman.
They go back to the Finger Poke of Doom real quick. I stand by the Finger Poke of Doom. I think it was a good angle you had. Now, I don't think Goldberg loses good, but the Finger Poke of Doom itself, it was an ultimate heel act. It was the NWA title, the big gold belt, the WCW title, NWO spray paint NWO on it. They're like, this had tradition behind it. This was something that wrestling fans were like, holy shit, this is the real belt. They spray painted it. And then Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan, does he get in there like a real warrior and beat, I'm winning the title? No. He has his lackey, his flunky, he has his buddy, Kevin Nash, just lay down. And he takes a belt in the ultimate heel maneuver.
Yeah, it's a bad guy, too.
Power adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched that thing this morning on Facebook where they were joking around about it.
The what?
Hollow and Nash were doing like one of those NWO commercials. Oh, no, Hollow and Nash, I mean Hogan and Nash.
Uh-huh.
They were doing like an NWO commercial and they were laughing and laughing about the Hogan was saying, you're the man and you should have won. And Nash is going, I don't know, I couldn't resist your incredible move. Nash is asking, am I going to die like Bruce Lee 28 days later?
Jesus.
Like,
yeah, I kind of remember that. It was a good little vignette.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking funny, and I don't even like Hogan. Like, if there's any way for me to be against Hogan, I will be against Hogan any day of the week.
But you can't be against Hogan when he's doing that. And when he has a potty mouth on the pay-per-view, it's pretty awesome.
I only saw a little bit of it. It didn't impress me much. I went back to watching Bray Wyatt videos.
Man, you're hard to impress, Johnny Cakes. Hard to impress.
I was impressed like hell with Bray Wyatt. I watched 3 or 4 of his vignettes, and somebody had one up on the Facebook, and I just kept going from there. So you can't find was hard to impress, because I was impressed.
Okay.
It's not by Hogan. I gotta admit, it would be impossible for him to impress me. Man. He could, like, tear cancer, walk across water to give it to people, and I'd be like, yeah, what else you got?
Guy's an asshole.
Man, John.
Yeah, I don't like the man. Never have, never will.
Did you watch the Hogan sex tape and go, that's impressive?
Oh, God, no. The fact that...
I haven't seen it either, John, but Jack, he keeps telling me that
I stand by it.
The fact that he has a penis the size of his thermos doesn't make me like him any better. It just makes me dislike thermoses a little. I will never look at a thermos the same way again.
That's a different way of looking at it. Incher, do you ever drink out of a thermos and thinking you're drinking out of the Hulkster?
I don't ever drink out of thermos as much, but if I did, I don't think I'd be thinking about that.
All right. Well,
only if it's a cream soup, right?
Now, Jack, when you drink out of a Coke can, do you think you're drinking out of Matt Stryker?
I don't drink Coke.
It is the real thing.
Well, we need to get a new guy and be like, that's like a G2 bottle.
Oh, jeez.
You'd be shaped weird.
It's kind of like Odorous Shermungus.
I'm drinking Powerade Zero tonight.
Powerade Zero.
What flavor is that?
Mixed berry.
Is that on the gay thing? If you're drinking Powerade mixed berry, you're into something.
Means you're into sodomizing power goats.
Well, who isn't though?
Anything about that? Pat, do you have a hanky on you, hanky man? Johnny Cakes?
I haven't heard the rest of the show, so I don't know what I'm saying yes to, so I'm not going to say yes. You don't have to listen on the replay, right?
Yeah, it's just a little fun thing. You must have. Do you have a hanky on? Give me a real answer. Entrance.
Oh, do I have a hanky? No, I haven't had a hanky in decades.
Oh, damn it.
I use toilet paper because I got class. Yeah, that's right. I got class.
Hell yeah.
I don't think toilet paper's here. If it was, I'm sure it would not be good for you. But I do want to thank you for calling. And you are a good man, Johnny.
Bye.
Take her easy.
All right. Now we got Juju B. Inchman.
Hello.
Hello. We got the Hall of Famer herself, Juju B.
Yeah, so... I wanted to take the time to thank everyone who chose me. So I'm going to take the time now and to thank them.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice of you.
All right. Well, I was going to go down the list. Is that okay?
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. Chris Levitt, Steven Simply Ravishing Carroll, Abuse of Power, Dobbs, Watcher IYH, Old Fool, Lauren Rad, Sexy Body, Van, Foxman, and the Ultimate Beef. Thank you.
And there were others who voted for you as well.
Those are the ones that I knew.
Right.
So thanks to everybody else that I didn't know that voted for me. I appreciate it.
Very nice of you. And you're well deserved, don't you think, Inchman?
No, most definitely. Yes.
I appreciate that.
Aw, very sweet. Now, what is on your mind in the world of the professional wrestling?
Well, I just had something. It isn't wrestling related, but it's related to the show from last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a question.
Not only are you a Hall of Famer, you were also voted the ass most wanted to motorboat.
That's a very prestigious honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we get this, we're talking off air, Intra and I, about starting a Kickstarter where we want people to fund the headies, where we could rent like a hotel for the evening,
just the crummiest one we can find,
like a Motel at 6 or whatever they're called, and we could have the headies there, and we will present you. If this comes to be, we will present you with the ass most desirable to motorboat Heady Award. It'd be like a plaque you can bring home, put on the wall.
When you're a grandmother, you can tell your grandchildren about it.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Go on, I'm sorry to ruin your moment.
All right, well, I think you were talking about playing Candy Crush Saga last week.
Yes, that's a good game.
You played it on the toilet, so...
Yes, I do.
I was just wondering, so does that mean, like, every time that I get a request on Facebook...
Well, I can
assume that you're taking a dump at that time, then?
It's not like every time I play it, I just run to the bathroom.
And if you get those requests from me, you know I'm at the Wendy's.
Look, can you hear that? Do you hear that?
I hear some music, yeah.
Do you hear that? That familiar sound?
Yeah, I hear it.
You're making people want to go play it now.
Isn't that... It's like crack. It's like... good kid. See, so I'm not on the toilet now, and I'm going to play a game of Candy Crush here during this phone call.
Hey, look. All right, I just thought about that today when they got the request from you. So
level
67. He's probably taking a dump right now.
Don't let him lie to you. He takes about as many dumps as I do when we're out. So he is a dumping machine. He loves to dump. I watch him and his habits. He is a number two.
It's just watching.
He's always number two-ing.
You're a freak. You are a weird man.
I'm going to pop my head in like John the Song Man, start whirling my eyes around and flaring my nostrils. I'm like, what you doing in there, Jackie Jones?
Now, did the thought of me sending requests on the can, did that excite you? Or?
Yeah, it does.
I think we're going to end the show now. I mean, Juju's going to get us some privacy.
And can I have the JJ position?
Hey, can I watch in the closet?
like, you're such a goober, JJ. But go ahead and watch In the Closet.
You can intro. Would you have a problem with that, Drew?
No, not with you guys.
See?
I'll just pop my head out like John the Songman every now and then. Like,
the one on your neck?
You're all my heroes.
Oh, Juju, you're my hero. The way you're taking the... All right, thank you for calling, Juju. We love you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Take her easy now.
We got a 574 area code. Who are you?
This is the Hoosier Highway.
That's
right. Taking a ride on the Hoosier Highway.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Jack, and an answer. This is a question on everybody's mind. Who's banging AJ?
Who's banging AJ?
I think his wife is.
No, AJ Lee.
Oh, AJ Lee. Okay.
Not AJ Styles. What are you thinking?
It would be crazy if AJ Styles was getting with AJ Lee, and they're like, "Oh, AJ, you're so great, AJ." It'd be like Max on Max.
You know, we heard stories about AJ that he brings videotapes of himself around, and that he watches himself and pops to his own moves. So he might just start talking about his own name during sex.
Be like, oh, he like masturbates to himself. I mean, that's...
You know what, if you could...
That is one thing on my list that I don't want to do. It's like...
Why not?
Watch video.
Would it make it easier?
I guess you could set yourself up in all these provocative situations. What the hell are we even talking about? All right, who is getting with AJ Lee? Is that the question? My money is going to be on...
How many beers would you have to drink to bang ODB?
Oh, how
not many? I think ODB's hot.
You must be drinking right now.
Nothing. I think she's got like this... She's like a slut. She's very dirty, and I like her.
Definitely dirty. I'll give you that.
What are you thinking? I think ODB's like dirty hot.
Yeah, I can see why you'd be a little attracted to her, yeah.
Hold on, you can't just keep asking questions and I'm waiting for an answer. We're still talking about AJ. Who's banging AJ Lee Incher?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, do you have any clue?
Big E Langston.
Really?
Whoever it is has to be the second most powerful person in WWE. And AJ is the future of WWE and the Divas Division. He showed up to answer the question they gave us, and I don't know.
She's not the future. She's been around for a while now. I kind of think her stocks have dropped quite a bit. I don't think she's as popular as she was.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of women's wrestling, have you guys discussed the Gail Kim, Darren Terrell match tonight?
Yeah, we thought it was amazing.
We liked
it. I agree.
See?
That was probably the best. It might have been the best match on that pay-per-view, to be honest.
One of the only women's wrestling matches that we just don't quickly dismiss. It was actually good.
I don't want to go over something you talked about earlier, but I know you haven't talked about Ring of Honor tonight.
No, we were trying to do one question or topic, and you've asked about 15. So what was this last one?
My last one and is about a topic you probably haven't brought up tonight, and that's Ring of Honor.
Ring
of Honor's parent company, Sinclair Television, has bought 10 new TV stations across the country. That's 10 new markets. Do you think that this could be the slow beginning of Ring of Honor becoming the number two promotion?
I like Ring of Honor, you know, when I do watch it, but I don't know if, like, the mainstream's going to pick it up and you know, kind of hoist it above TNA. Even though TNA, they aren't exactly, like, you know, setting the world on fire right now, but I just don't see it happening because they don't have any known people, like, TNA, at least they have people that, you know, WWE has been from WWE. ROH doesn't have anybody right now.
I don't really like that mentality, though. I don't think you have to have ex-WWE guys. I think you're better off building your own people, to be honest. I don't think that's really working for TNA, having all these people that used to be in WWE.
Well, I'm saying
a couple, but you like to bring people in and then showcase your own guys. But when you're just known as a company just filled with like guys that used to be in WWE, I think it just makes you look like a place where people go when they're not wanted anymore.
Really, what I'm talking about is what the casual fan is looking for. And when the casual fan sees a bunch of people that they don't know, they're not likely to stay tuned in. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think if you have a... I don't really necessarily think it's that they don't have any... I think it's none of their guys really stand out. They don't have... there were guys in the past, the Ring of Honor, like, that you wanted to see. I don't think there's really any stars there. And not because they're not WWE or WCW in the past. I just don't think there's anybody that's really a big star in the company. That's like star-like power. That has like a buzz behind him.
I saw a picture
of the champions there on the. I'm gonna try to start watching Ring of Honor. It's very nice. Norn started a, which everyone out there, Norn Rad started a Thursday night Ring of Honor chat room. So what you do is you come at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, an hour before Impact, and everyone gets together and watches Ring of Honor from that week. But I saw there, and like their one guy looked, I mean, he was like just skin and bones, like this little scrawny dude. He was like one of the tag champs.
He should be called Bones.
Bones McGee.
I think the Briscoes have some buzz behind them.
Yeah, but they might be going to WWE.
Oh, well. Well, let's strike that then.
He's his world champ now, right? One of the Briscoes.
Is he? I thought it was still Kevin Steen. I wasn't for sure. I haven't watched it in a while.
No, I'm pretty sure it's one of the Briscoes.
No, okay. Because
he was out there tweeting about killing gays, and then they weren't very happy about that.
Yeah, it's not exactly a good move.
But I don't know. I think for a company to become the real number two, you have to create buzz and something out of your company, and not because the company that owns you bought some TV stations.
Well, I hope the number two company that eventually rises is the one with the most tits and ass. Thanks for taking my call, Jack. The best part of my day tomorrow is going to be downloading the podcast I'll listen to later.
Well,
have a great night.
You too.
I bet Eric Young...
What did he say? Something about Eric Young?
I'm not sure what exactly he said.
267 area code, who are you?
All right, it's your mom, everybody. Long time no conversion.
So weird.
Oh, I got a new number here. Yolanda!
I think I said my name.
But I can tell by the voice. The voice. I hear that voice, and it stirs emotions in me, and sure.
Ooh. I hope it's better than John the Songman.
I think John the Songman's asexual. I don't think he gets sexually excited.
Speaking of John the Songman, it's been a while. I've been horribly busy, falling asleep at my computer, working all types of stuff. And I have missed y'all talking about from Cool Cats to the new dance sensation called doing the poffo. They're sweeping the globe. Do the poffo.
Do the poffo.
Do the poffo.
The poffo.
I answer, you've been losing some weight. Do you think you ever get the poffo ready? You'd be poffo strong?
Poffo.
I'll probably be like the size of like a Donnie Wahlberg in The Sixth Sense. Probably look the same way, and you probably wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. So there you go.
What's I got to do with doing the PAFO?
I'm just saying, I'd be a creepy looking dude if I actually did do the PAFO.
You know what, I think anyone doing the PAFO is a creepy looking dude. I mean, is there anybody that you could think of that just starts sucking their own cock? You think that guy looks pretty cool?
No, that's a neat party for sure.
No, that's pretty badass, sir. Shoving his penis in his mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a modern day Fonz right there.
I think y'all asked the question shows ago about if I don't know. I guess if I was in, you know, about to get it on, and all of a sudden he goes, "Wait, I got this," and just tucks his head and throws his legs up and do his thing. Do I get aroused? No, I would probably kick him in his ass and walk the fuck out.
Man,
how would be high when you talking? What kind of shit is that?
You know, if you were guilty of that, shouldn't you just go to your grave claiming that it wasn't true?
I kind of respect that he's just proud of it. And he just sees so nonchalant about it. He's like, "Oh, I was doing a party trick I learned."
I wonder who taught him that. Probably himself.
Angelo could do. Doesn't he have like the record for sit-ups?
Now, don't speak ill of the dead, Jack.
I'm just saying, maybe it's like an old family trick. So
no, come on.
Papo's the best down.
Hey, Macho Man was at the TNA pay-per-view.
He was ghost.
Some dude was dressed up as Macho Man, and Hulk Hogan pointed at him and said, "Macho Man." Did you see that? It was after his promo.
Do you think he was always so pissed, like because he couldn't do the PAFO?
Randy Savage or Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, Randy. Maybe that's why he was always so mad. He always seemed like pissed off.
I don't know.
No wonder he locked up Elizabeth. People are just walking around like blowing themselves. Like, they keep my wife away from these guys. That's my own brother, and he's just bringing blowing himself in front of my wife.
I just feel really wrong participating in this conversation. I just don't want to. I don't know. I mean, the man's dead. His brother did some scandalous things, you know, by doing that, you know, fixing himself. You know what I'm talking about. And Macho Man ain't got nothing to do with it. Don't drag him into it. Oh, yeah, baby.
Well, there are reasons why people act the way they do. I'm just trying to investigate.
You're playing armchair psychologist, aren't you? Well, I'm just going to give you his diagnosis right now. Lanny Poffo, he did it because he can. Man's not crazy. He just did it because he can.
Just like a dog.
Just like a dog. Well, that's what they say men are, so but, there you go.
But, I mean, I can understand, like, you know, when you're by yourself or something, but if he's got a woman in bed with him, well, what's the use of doing it?
Well, sometimes they're not as giving.
So, guy gonna
teach you. You're not going to fix me up. I'm going to teach you.
Maybe you had to teach her. Like, I could show you some moves here, baby. Check this out.
Man.
Some pointers.
I agree with Beast that this would be a great selling point for yoga.
That's
like,
what I said. I wanted to do a video series of me doing YRG, which led to me finally doing the being able to pull off the PAFO.
Yeah, do the PAFO.
Now that would be an inspirational video intro. Set that to the Rocky theme. Make like a montage of like my 6 months of YRG. Keep trying and trying, and then at the end, succeed. I'll be like, hell yeah, I'm buying that YRG now. And DDP Yoga is changing the world. Forget DDP Yoga making Jake the Snake Roberts clean. Bringing in the icons, doing the PAFO. It's pretty amazing.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can't get this fog out of my head.
See? Now you're taking it back. You're taking it back now. You thought before you would not be turned on. Now you're thinking about the internet icon. You know what? I'm having second thoughts.
Only you I will allow such.
I take that as a huge compliment.
See, only Matt so Jackie Joe get this treatment. And I'm also here to bitch and complain and add to John Songman. So he put up something, I don't know how many, let me see, fun, this is the thing. May 22nd, because I'm looking on my Facebook. And he puts up something about, what's her name? Not Tito Santana. Santana Garrett. Santana. Who I know about her. She's beautiful. I like her. And then everybody's putting all this ignorant stuff. He puts a picture, a video about her being in TNA. During Orlando Jordan's like crazy entrances. But this was Orlando Jordan did not care if the world knew he was gay. He came out the ceiling wrapped up in caution tape. I mean, this was horrible. And so I'm looking at this shit, and so I decided to say, what did I write that he got offended with? I wrote something about his penis. Who knows? Oh yeah, here it goes. I wrote his dick should have popped out of that caution tape, right? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. He told me to remove the comment because he doesn't like it. Yay. And so I'm feeling some type of way. And I'm like, should I black old spaz out on him? Or should I let him slide? Because I don't want to even cry, you know? So I wrote back to him. Okay. I said I deleted it. But just to be clear, writing about Orlando Jordan's penis is bad. But this comment is okay. Did she kill her family like the other one of your favorites? Yeah, he went on there. But me talking about Orlando Jordan's dick is a no-no. Mm. I'm confused.
He's big babies. Like, I don't know. He's like reporting people to Facebook over comments he doesn't like. And I don't know. I don't really like that dude. I try to be nice to him. I don't really like people who report people. It's like a tattletale.
Yeah, don't. But speaking of tail, did y'all ever talk about one of the Usos tapping Naomi's tail?
Really?
Yeah, one of the Usos is hitting that.
Man.
All that ass, what? All to himself.
Man, like, see, that's why they're getting the new push. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon probably heard that. He's like, damn, pal, we're going to push these guys to the moon. That's how you get his respect.
And when you're Drew McIntyre and you get beat up by your girl, you're in the 3MB.
That's the way it is. What do you think Bill Watts would have done? You think if Bill Watts, when he had Mid-South and somebody came in, like Hollywood John Tatum came in, he's like, I got my ass beat by Missy Hyatt. You think he would have pushed a guy? He's freaking fired. You're out of here. Probably would have beat the shit out of him and then fired him. It's a man's game, Incher.
Man's world, Jack. Man's world.
Yeah.
You can't push a guy gets beat up, but I don't know though. I saw now Taryn Terrell's. You saw she's kicking ass over in TNA.
That is true. So maybe nobody could really take Taryn Terrell.
Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I mean, what can you do if your wife hits you? If you hit her back, he's going to prison.
Yeah, you're pretty much just a no win situation.
Yeah, and if you don't, then it's like you got beat up by a woman. But it's like, well, you can't just start beating shit out of her. You go to prison for the rest of your life, and then you'll have a life of like being sodomized by like Big Bubba. I mean,
that's a little extreme. But
do you want to? Well, that's probably what's gonna happen if you go to prison for beating your wife. You're probably gonna get friggin' raped.
Well, you said you'll go to prison for your life. I mean, you might go for a few months. And then, yeah.
Then it's your life.
Then it is your life, I guess. Yeah, you got me there.
You're marked for life, though, as a woman abuser.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Andrew, that's what I'm saying. Now, do you want to take some ribbing by the guys? Said, oh, you got beat up by a woman, or do you want to go to the pokey hole and spend some quality time with Big Bubba? It's not a good choice, but I think I'm gonna pick ribbing. I'm gonna take the ribbing.
Mm-hmm.
Although in wrestling, who knows? Maybe the ribbing might be sodomy.
It was all in fun.
They say JBL tied up Grandmaster Sexay.
It was funny. It was good times. Ah, it's fun.
Wait,
where's my broomstick?
What's that?
I need to butter somebody's ass. It's fun. It's funny.
What are you saying, Yolanda?
I'm sorry, JBL tied up Grandmaster Sexy and put a broom in his butt? What y'all talking about?
Yeah, they say he's tied. Well, I think the broom was in. It was actually in Blue Meanie, but they said that he tied him up in the shower, and like was washing him up with like lathering him up with soap, saying he was gonna sodomize him. He was gonna butt fuck him, and until Grandmaster Sexy cried and like. And, like, that was, like, a rib.
That is a pretty good rib, ain't it? Can you imagine that big hillbilly just standing over you, and he's like, I'm just lathering you up here, pal. You know what's going to happen next? Bad times, Grandmaster Sexay.
It was on a recent shoot interview I was listening to, too, and I've heard the story many times, but I forget who said it. I don't think it was Bob Holly. I forget who it was, but they said that Grandmaster Sexay kept saying, it was Raven. It was a Raven thing I was watching. And Raven said that Grandmaster Sexay kept saying, guys, don't do that to guys. Guys, don't do that to guys. That was defense.
That was a...
They made fun of Grandmaster Sexay for saying that. It's like, Jesus, man. What do you expect the guy to do?
That'd probably be saying some crazy shit.
Yeah. That's on. Well, Yolanda, anything else quick here before I let you go?
No, not now. I can't think of nothing else. I'm overwhelmed by the poffo, by doing the poffo.
Do the poffo. It's fun. It's a party trick.
Oh.
It's good times. It's funny.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully I'll hit you guys up next week.
You
have
as
a
well.
Good night.
You too.
Have more money now. Oh, yeah.
So, you know,
buttering your ass up.
You ever want to be my Grandmaster Sexhead in my JBL? We can recreate that moment. All right, Intro. We got Adam Gonzalez on the line.
How you doing, Gov?
Not too bad.
Having a good time. It's funny.
It sounds apparently JBL is having a good time with Grandmaster Sexy too.
Yes.
That's fucked up.
Who's at fault in this? I mean, you can't really blame Grandmaster Sexy.
No.
That's just horrible.
I wonder what he did to warrant that.
What douchebag of a move did he do to make JBL go to those extremes?
I mean, you look at him, and you like, that guy really is probably just told a douchebag, but I don't think I've ever thought someone was such a big douchebag that I wanted to, like, you know, have them fear that I was going to rape them. Like, maybe, you know, I've
I think you just do that when you like people.
You've never actually feared that I was going to do that to you, did you?
Oh, I've kept one eye open. Yeah.
You have the brown eye.
I've got blue eyes.
On your face.
So, it's been a long, long time since I watched wrestling. And I was wanting to know, basically, I think Mr. McMahon, Dixie Carter, and whoever the hell on ROH needs to pay you two guys and the whole IYH wrestling community.
I agree 100%.
Keeping me up to date on what the hell's going on in wrestling, because I can't stand to watch it, and I don't know why.
I agree. Everyone should start paying us.
Where's my money, Bob Carter?
I'm just being honest. I mean, I really do. I think you two guys are the best guys on the internet, and I listen to your other show, Without Your Head, and I find a lot of that stuff pretty cool, too. And I don't know, man. It's just I just can't watch wrestling for some reason. I find myself watching old shit, like from ECW days and even old TNA. I loved old TNA. Well, not the beginning, because it was kind of shitty, but
There are definitely some highlights, but overall, I do watch wrestling a lot less, and I do probably think if it wasn't for In Your Head and the chat room Monday, because it was a lot of fun to watch Raw with the chat room, makes it actually a lot more tolerable, especially, you know, when it's bad on the weeks. I don't know if I'd be watching it either. It's been...
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be tuning in quite as much as I do. I'd still even miss even when I'm, you know, doing the show, but... yeah, I definitely wouldn't be watching like I used to.
I mean, I don't DVR it or anything, but probably just like everybody else has got the internet, I find other ways to watch it. So, I mean, I skip to the parts that have the Shield in it and stuff like that, and that's the only highlight that's really in wrestling to me. I mean, I don't even know where the hell CM Punk's been. I'm not seen him in a while, so.
Yeah, he's been off for a while, but you know what? I don't think we ever mentioned. I really like Ambrose's finisher. I like the headlock driver. It's kind of like a. Kind of a DDT bulldog kind of hybrid. It looks good, but it's devastating.
Yeah.
I like that move. It's driving the guy's head right to the mat. It's simple. So many moves now are these weird flips and like trying to like do something new. And this is new, but it looks cool. But it's like that Big E move. I hate. Like he holds the guy
that
up
one where it looks like it hurts himself more than
and
the
he just falls on his own back and like the guy like. I don't know what kind of bump he's supposed to be taking. He's kind of falling down. It's dumb. I hate that move. Like, his snap is nice. Like, it's quick and sudden, and, like, he's got a lot of impact. He's a big, you know, like, a stocky guy, but the way he does it, it's just dumb. He should be better off just doing a power slam. Why's he got the guy up there? You know, like, the British Bulldog power slam.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, a lot of big guys, like, I don't know how long ago it's been, but, I mean, like, if you look back, like, all the big guys, like Brock, he does, you know, the F5, and it's kind of a move to do, but, I mean, it makes it more special when he does it to Big Show or even Tensai or whatever the fuck he calls himself now. But, I mean, he damn near broke his neck, but I just blame Albert for that. I don't think it was his fault. But, I mean, it's all the power people that they have that don't seem like they do big moves, like, who's that guy used to do the pounce in TNA? He was in ECW.
Monty Brown.
Pounce! I liked his move, the pounce, and then he did the alpha bomb. And I always thought that was amazing when he would do it to not real, real, real big fat guys. Like, he couldn't do it to the Big Show. There ain't no way in hell. But it just seems like they're going away from if you're big and bulky and eating your vitamins or steroids, that... they don't do real big powerhouse moves no more. It just seems like they just do some stupid bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah, I like seeing the big power move. Even Ryback, when he walks around with the guy, and you know, it was pretty cool. I liked Ryback when he was like killing jobbers.
I liked him when he was doing the 1-on-3 matches or the handicap matches, and then they build him up as this big killer, and everybody's chanting Goldberg and stuff like that. And you know the fans was in behind him, and then you know WWE's just like, well, no, we ain't gonna push him. Screw it. And I mean the same thing with Brock Lesnar. They made him a big pussy ever since he's been brought back.
Yeah, they've really, really taken.
Like,
I think they've gone out of their way to take him down.
I don't know why neither. I mean, it's kind of like last week when I actually got to listen to you guys.
Spiteful, I think. I think they're spiteful.
I think it is. I really do. I don't think it has nothing to do with the what, writing teams or the creators or anything. I just think that McMahon just can't stand these people because I tried to mention this last week, but you remember Ken Shamrock when he came into WWF back in a long time ago. They built him up as a badass, too. Mm-hmm. And then they just put him in a corporation and he was just basically a bitch. And he was just out there getting jobbed all the time, it seemed like. So I don't know if McMahon's just trying to just ruin him or what, but I guess if he just wants to sit on his ass and get his ass beat for how much ever money he's getting paid for, I really can't knock him, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, man. I know you can hear it a lot of times, you just can't stand, or a lot of people saying they hate wrestling, this and that. I don't hate it, it's just nothing's getting me out of my chair, man, or getting me pumped, like back in the 90s.
Well, you said one thing is, and that is in your head, Incher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, though? You said you don't watch it. So, I can respect that. You don't like it, so you don't watch it. But people who just watch it every single week probably watch more than I do and just hate everything. I get kind of sick of that. It's like, well, if you hate it that much, probably should.
Yeah, then why keep watching? I mean, I try to. Like, I try to keep up to date with pay-per-views. But, I mean, like, when I was a kid, man, I mean, I really didn't get to watch a lot of it because, you know, my parents would send me to bed early and shit. But, you know, I missed out on a lot of good stuff, so I'd have my uncle record WCW, and then my dad would record WWF, and then I'd watch them on the weekends and stuff and get caught up, because, I mean, if you miss shit back then, I mean, you never know what you was going to miss back then, but now if you miss, like, WWE's Raw, or I've not watched SmackDown in about 3 years, to be honest with you. I can't watch that show. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, it seems very unimportant.
It really does, and they just have a bunch of spinoff shows, and all kinds of goofy stuff that they do on there, and I don't know, man. The only thing that really got me out of my chair was when Brock came back the first time. Like, I was like, oh, shit. And that then he came out, F5 John Cena. I was like, damn, that is awesome. And then, I don't know, man. It's just, like, I'm not even into MMA, really. I mean, I watch a little bit of it, but, I mean, it's, I don't know what it is. It just seems like the older I get, the more I'm getting drawn away from wrestling, and I don't like that, because, I mean, I love listening to you guys, and I think without this show, I wouldn't even give two shits about wrestling. So I just want to commend you two for that and the whole community of this show.
Well, thank you. And that's cool, too. Check out iywrestling.com. Join the message board. There's always, like, a lot of craziness there. But I think what's really been taking off lately is the Facebook group. So go to facebook.com/groups/iywrestling and during every show, whether it's a Raw, whether it's Impact, whether it's a pay-per-view, you can go to iywrestling.com and you can join the chat room, and we have live chats during the show, which makes the shows a lot of fun. So anyway, well, thank you for calling in.
I wanted to add one more thing. There's a the first time I ever called in has been a few years back, but I know the Inch Man goes by the Power Goat, and I am tempted to go get me a picture with the damn goat and have you guys as a banner in the background. So I'm going to try and get that picture to you guys.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
I think that'd be awesome.
Cool. I'll look forward to checking that out.
All right, man. You just have a good night.
You too.
Take it easy.
All right. Thank you, man.
Now, before I go to the next caller, Richard, there's a very interesting question that came up here on the message board over at iywrestling.com. And that is from Charlie. He wants to know, serious question for people who are just like, who love women's wrestling, and if do you jerk off while you watch women wrestle?
No. That's absurd.
Now, people, now I know you that are really, that watch it because they really do think they're just really sexy and stuff. Is it to the point where you would, physically pleasure yourself, or you just kind of like the cheap little thrill?
Would anything surprise you when it came to John the Song Man?
I'd be surprised if he did, actually.
You would be?
Yeah, I don't think he does.
Man, that's weird.
I don't think he's sexually attracted to women or anything.
Nah. I think he probably is.
You?
I think he is, yeah. I think he lies and just says he isn't.
I do kind of picture him, like, in, like, 20 years, that he'll be, like, the guy in the song Aqualung. Like, that's what he'll grow up to be.
Hmm.
Can you see that? Like, him just sitting on a bench, park bench. And
oh, yeah.
It's, like, juggling his jewels to, like, any female that walks around.
Did you seriously just ask me? This is a serious question from the chat room. Do you beat off when you watch women's wrestling? Did you seriously just ask me that?
Yes. Did it just now sink in?
No, I'm just thinking. I mean, we go over a lot of crazy shit on the show. But you seriously just asked me that?
Yes. It was a serious question.
Man.
All right. Now, speaking of jerking off to women's wrestling, we got a Swax on the line.
What's up, people?
What's going on? Swaxer. The Swaxer's in the house, Jack.
Mm-hmm. It's a good topic.
The mean event of the night.
If you start that shit, I'm hanging up on you. Now, here in the chat room, Juju V said, Cesaro's German now. Did you know this, Incher? He's no longer Swedish or wherever the hell he was. He's from Germany.
Well, that's just quite an about face.
He's got the same name, the same music. He's the same guy, but now he's from Germany. I saw people on the message board like, don't be a fucking asshole! You don't cry like a bitch. It's just it's no big deal. And then get pissed. And it's like, well, it's stupid. How can a guy just from 1 week to the next, now he's German?
Mm-hmm.
I never watch a TV show and you're like, well, this guy who for a year has been, you know, he's been German. Now he's African.
Yeah. That doesn't happen in normal TV
shows, and it's not like it wasn't a part of the guy. It's this whole gimmick. The whole gimmick is he was from Finland or Portugal. Where they, I don't even know. But now he's from Germany. He's German.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just accept it. Move on. People are like, well, it's just like when as someone changed, like when Raven became. When Raven became Raven, and he used to be Scotty. No, it's not the same thing. The guy left the company, became a totally new guy. He's still Cesaro. He's still the same guy. 1 week, he's this. The next week, now he's German. It's not the same thing. They didn't take him off and recreate him and say, now we're bringing him in as you know, a friggin' stormtrooper, friggin' Nazi. No, now he's German. You think they'll play up being a Nazi, or do you think, they won't do that, WWE?
I think Cesaro should come out with a, like, Hitler outfit.
There you go.
No, I don't think
he and get amazing heat from the audience.
I think he'd probably get cheered.
Have him with a Hitler stash and everything.
That would be awesome if he grew a Hitler stash.
I don't know if they're going to go that far, but I don't know. That'd be crazy,
you know what?
If they did.
I'm going to say this right now. Last night at Conan O'Brien, they did a bunch of Hitler jokes. It's no big deal. WWE's too, like, politically correct. Like, oh, we can't have Hitler on our wrestling show. Why not?
It's kind of like they've been there and they've done that in wrestling. Like the Baron von Roschke. It's kind of like they're before their time, I guess.
But Umaga, same exact gimmick as every Samoan that ever wrestled. But when was he his most over? When he was Umaga. Modern day Nazi is what they need.
But he's not even real.
What? Hitler's not real.
No, I'm saying like he's Swedish, isn't he? Or
no matter.
Or he's from Holland. Where is he from?
He's from Holland. I don't know, but he's not from Germany.
Oh well, whatever.
Baron von Raschke is like Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a real Nazi.
Well, what about Fritz?
He probably was.
He might as well have been if he's telling people they should kill themselves.
His own skids.
He's like, if you're... He's like, good lord. What sort of, oh my god. The therapist would have a field day with him.
Now, since Cesaro was, like, turning German, I think somebody like Oksana should align herself back with him and denounce that she's from Lithuania and from actual Germany. And
here's about
just
her.
Doing this, like German march to the ring and wearing Hitler outfits.
There, goose step into the ring with a swastika.
Yep.
What do you think, Incher?
I don't know. I mean, whatever. I don't think they'll ever have like a swastika on wrestling.
Yeah, it'd be like Sergeant Slaughter with General Anon.
There you go. I mean, that was during the actual war. That. This is 100 years after the freaking war ended. Like 80-something years.
Well, if Goldberg comes and beats them all, then it'll be all right.
That would be awesome. But they had like a incinerator match with Goldberg and Cesaro.
Like they used to have like a stipulation in the match. Like,
you know what? You know, the more I think about it, I've never really saw anything in Oksana, but I think Oksana as a Nazi character, I think that would work. Get the black hair and stuff. I think that might work.
Like the olive colored like outfit, like it'd be like a Nazi outfit, but a real sexy one with a short.
I'd say black. She would be black. But yeah, I got you. I'm with you. I'm feeling this one. I'm with Swags on this one, Andrew.
It would definitely generate heat and, you know.
There you go. He should be like a big cartoon, like Nazi.
Could they bring the Doc back and Jesse and have them do the KKK thing, like I said?
Sure.
Just have them team up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good times.
Like that. I like it.
And then people like Sergeant Slaughter and Hacksaw Jim.
You maggots! Now, how about that, Andrew? Could they have a guy could just come out and start waving a flag like old Hacksaw Jim Duggan? Would that make him over?
I don't know. You know, like, you say things just won't work in today's times. I don't know if Sergeant Slaughter would work in today's times.
I think people kind of look down on the most part for being like overly patriotic now.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say this though, as shocking as this program that you're all making out, I don't think you'll ever be as shocking as Jose's program.
No, that one's top notch.
So there you go.
And then, you know, have like Jack Swagger, he'll like turn tweener, like, you know, not face or heel, but he'll be tweener and he'll go against Cesaro, being the, you know, real American. And him and Zeb Coulter would like run a program with them and saying, oh, this is America, go back to Germany, you Nazi bastards. And, you know, you're...
Go back to 1930s Germany.
Well, I like how he just says, go back to Germany, you Nazi bastards. Get in a time machine and go back to the 1930s and return to your people.
So I love it. I like it. Cartoony.
Puts out a nice promo. He'll do an awesome promo with Cesaro and Oksana.
Mm-hmm. I think we should just reread that script. We should make it an annual event.
It is a pretty crazy script. And one of these days, WWE is going to do it.
It would be awesome. Can't find it now. Trying to look for it.
You'll find it. I know you will.
If I find it before the end of the show, can I read it again?
We've done a long enough show already. I mean, it's 4 hours now. I think we're good.
Yeah, but it's like it's the friggin' Raw script, though.
Yeah.
We've read it before. I'm tired of this.
I think we should read it every show.
I mean, you can, if you do it, if you have the allotted times to do it, then that's fine. I don't want to wait till 12 a.m. and then start reading the damn script. Come on now.
I have it right here. I'm going to bookmark it so I can read it next week.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Well, what I think Inter should do is he should just get his food, you know, start it right now, because he always gets a bite to eat after the show.
And
Jack could start reading
it. If you listen to Swax this time, I know you're just doing it to spite me.
I'm saving it. I think people are going to tune in next week for the rereading of the Raw script.
So there you go. Alrighty, everybody. Is there anything else you want to bring up, Jack, before we close out the show tonight?
Your name's not Jack. We'll get to you. I just want to say, if you're out there, Jose, you crazy son of a bitch, and you want to write a new Raw script, we'll make that a regular part of the show. That'd be awesome.
It'd be hard to top the first one, though.
It would indeed. All right, Swax, what were you going to say? Make
just
it quick.
Take that med bottle and throw it out the window.
I want to talk about how they were booking.
Get Curtis them typing Axel. Fingers to ready. I'm sorry, Swax. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about how they are booking Curtis Axel.
Oh, we talked a lot about that already.
And this is the biggest joke that for his booking, that he's like always like winning by count out. They just throw Super Cena at his face, and he's expected to do good in the match.
I thought it was his best match on Raw yet. Actually, him and Cena.
Yeah, but still, it was a no disqualification match, and you know Ryback actually stole his thunder because you know Ryback is always there.
Well, he's gonna be facing Cena at the pay per view, so it only made sense to me.
Yeah, but Curtis Axel should not be overshadowed if he's gonna be a Paul Heyman guy. He should go out there and just kick somebody's ass decisively, show that, you know, Paul Heyman has a strong
Everyone's pushed that way. I like it. It's something different. I'm disagreeing with you. I think Intra's got your back, but I'm disagreeing. I like it.
It just sucks because I know if Kurt Hennig were still alive, he would not, though.
He's a different guy. He's a different guy.
Well, I just...
Yeah, but he's still a second-generation star that should be respected, and it's about time that, you know, his respect is getting to him. Because, you know, when he was Michael McGillicuddy, that was the worst thing ever.
Well, that was the shits.
Yeah. Well, I'm not necessarily, like, I hate the name, and I don't think he's, like, he does well wrestling and everything, but I just think, like, his promos and stuff, he doesn't come across very well to me. I don't like it. So that's what I don't like about Michael McGillicuddy. Or whatever his name is now, Curtis Axel.
That's why they put him with Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman can put him over as a mouthpiece.
Yeah, even just though like when Paul Heyman's talking for him, he starts doing these crazy facial expressions, he gets excited. He's like, and it's like, it just doesn't look natural. It doesn't look like he, you know. Kurt Hennig would come out and he'd have that look on his face, like he knows he's the best. And that was perfection. He comes out and he's just like, he's over-exaggerating everything. It just doesn't feel right to me. That's what I have to say about Curtis Axel. He needs to improve on that, if you ask me.
Well, as long as Paul Heyman is his mouthpiece, I don't think he'll improve unless, you know, he gets more promo training and, you know, runs a good dialect.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I know that this is Jack's Ted DiBiase Jr. moment.
I like the man. It's because Intra backs the losers. Doesn't mean everyone does.
Intra's
got Ted DiBiase Jr. He's like, he's got Ted DiBiase Jr. poster, and then he's over that, he's got Anarchia.
Now, all the people that I've got behind that did take off, you don't mention them. Just like the Anarchias.
Anarchia.
And just the Ted DiBiase Jr.
Ted DiBiase Jr.
I still think Anarchia could be something.
Yeah.
That guy was
D-Von
money.
D-Von Dudley.
Well, D-Von Dudley, he's already proved himself. At one time, he was the, for Christ's sakes, isn't he like the TV champion?
No,
not anymore.
Oh, well, he was, wasn't he?
Yep.
There you go.
Who else did you get behind? The dinosaur guy there.
The dinosaur guy. There's somebody who was hunting dinosaur fossils.
Brodus Clay.
Oh, Brodus Clay, yeah.
Funkosaurus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow, I don't like him. He's...
Let's see, who else...
Get behind,
Jason Sewell.
Who?
That ref.
You made that one up. I didn't get behind him. I didn't think I liked him back then either. I got behind R-Truth, and he took off into a good character for a while, and then he just kind of fizzled up. You know, there's people you got behind. And
Rory McAllister
died. I never got behind Rory McAllister. If I did, I can't recall it at all. You're making that up. I did feel bad for the fucker. I mean, he was sitting in TNA and he was trying to, you know, support some of the people he knows, and they're just like, "Oh, let's just show him right on TV," and then they didn't
Jackson,
even give the guy a job.
Ezekiel Jackson,
Gemini.
Oh, yeah, well, Gemini, I mean, come on. They were money.
What about Ezekiel Jackson?
Ezekiel Jackson, hell yeah. I think you were behind him, yeah, at one time.
Before they actually started to push him, then you were like, holy shit, this guy's the shit.
Well, you were kind of for him, too, were you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Jack,
mm-hmm.
I know money when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And Anarchy is going to prove you wrong one of these days.
Anarchy.
Why don't you just like shit your pants if he did come into WWE and he was like the man?
Were you real big on Camacho and they were riding the bikes together?
Come on now. I never had a word of praise for them. You're just making this up.
They're riding that bike for two right to the right down the road to WrestleMania.
Man, I can't believe you, Jack.
So, do you think CM Punk is going to actually come back in Chicago?
Can we ever end?
I think CM Punk, he'll come back. Of course, he's going to have his match with Jericho, so he'll be back.
I don't think he's going to come back.
He'll be back.
Oh, they wouldn't even bring him up if he wasn't going to come back.
They'd just say, screw CM Punk. Yep. Now, Jack, I remember you being so behind that Braden Walker guy. You were so wanting to see him on TV. You're like, Braden Walker, he's going to be the best wrestler you ever seen, 1-inch.
Well, you know what? You can make fun of that Braden Walker DVD. He's making a fucking payload off of it.
Yeah. That is true. I should take that back. I apologize.
Well, that is another guy, though, that Mohawk. You were big on Ink Ink.
No, I knew they were nothing.
Ink was the shit back then.
Oh, pipe down, Swags. I knew they were nothing, but I just said it was my guilty pleasure. You make that goddamn poll, and you're like, what's your guilty pleasure? So I admit it. And then you're like, Itcher's behind them all the way. You know it.
Now, you like that spiky hairdo result.
Now Swax is on me. This has become fact to Swax.
But like it was like a football, and you know, you saying, "Damn!" All
right, I loved them. I loved this the Mohawk guys.
Yep,
they're the best. All right, that's it. That's it. I'm making my Miss Piggy exit right here. That's enough of you, Jack. Swax. I love you, my man. You're the best. Swax yep. that ass.
Yep.
Before we go, though, Incher.
All right, what?
I did have a serious thing I want to talk about. And, you know, wrestling, it's all fun and games. But sometimes there are serious things that we have to discuss, and sometimes it's not easy to do so. This here is my story. Woo! Bow for glory. No need to worry. We're bound for glory.
Jack loved Judas Messias.
No, you did!
You were all about Judas Messias. Judas Messias, he couldn't stop talking about Judas Messias.
No one liked Judas Messias.
You loved him.
Bound for glory. Shout out to William Morris.
Guys, name.
Bound for glory. They were bound for glory.
He's gonna prove you wrong one of these days.
But this year, it's my story. Cause I'm bound for glory.
If they would have put Anarchia with Chavo, they would have had a better team. That's
you know
all
what?
I gotta say about it. Chavo awesome. And Anarchia, they deserve the tag team belts.
You got behind Lynyrd Skynyrd. I got behind Bound for Glory Remix. I think end of discussion.
Whatever. Judas Messias lover.
Lies.
Here's Daniel Pewter. You're in your head, online.com.